This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
I sexually identify as an attack helicopter.
Ha! I was able to do it. I'm producing tonight, and I was able to actually do an appropriate opening. Instead of the last time that we did this, and I was caught off guard a little bit.
Really?
That's your cue, Steve, to come in and say something.
Oh, is it? Because I'm still contemplating the conversation we were having before we went on air. There's some visual stuff that Ridge was talking about that for some reason is just going around in my brain, which we're not going to discuss with you on air, but except that we already did since it was live since like the last 5 minutes.
Kyle, yes. Listen. Yes. Kyle, I have a question. Do you support my right to have rotor blades surgically attached to my back since I sexually identify as an attack helicopter?
Ooh, man. Yes.
I just want to know what kind of weapons you're going to have. Sidewinder, what kind of arms you're going to have.
Okay, I'm going to have...
The entire
arsenal from Iron Man, but on an attack helicopter.
With a little cockpit.
There you go, exactly.
Yes, thank you, Reds, by the way, for jumping in there and saving the dead air that happened. Steve's still trying to figure out how this whole co-host thing works, where I'll make a statement.
Well, first of all, I was really shocked you actually did a good intro for a second. I figured you were going with somewhere.
Okay. We're going to go that route. Okay. Let me throw this super chat out of the way real quick. We'll read them as we go along tonight, since this is a more laid back and fun stream. The Athens 619 says, whenever Earth gets invaded by aliens, that will be the death of the flat Earth. # space wall. Yeah, that's true. That is true. So flat Earth data is in the live chat, and I said this yesterday, and they keep proving my point. They're so ready and eager to talk shit up until the moment you say, well, hey, why don't you come on and let's talk about it? And then nothing. You won't hear a thing from them.
Oh, yeah. Crickets.
Shannon Q with a flat earther. Yeah, that'll be. Hey, Shannon, how are you? That reminds me.
Hey.
Let me put this out there. I got an email following the incel and feminist discussion that we had from an incel, and this particular incel said that he didn't think, or there was another side to incels that wasn't displayed, and I think it's the not so nice side. So I think he's wanting to come on and talk about the what Dr. Winters was kind of alluding to. And so we're going to set that up, and I'm thinking that Shannon's going to be taken that one. So, Shannon, good luck, maybe.
I want to see Shannon lose it to the point of. Yeah, I just want to see. I think Shannon Q, when she loses her shit, is fun Shannon Q. I will popcorn the shit out of that. Okay. Because it's so infrequent when it's done, but when it does, it's like, holy fuck. Okay.
Oh, we may have somebody. Samuel Owen Hancock. You want to come in? Carter Giacobini, you better not have a guest that gives my brain herpes again today, or I'll be forced to sick a dragon on you. Reds, did you happen to see that yesterday? Last night?
No, I was too busy dealing with some other shit that Steve already knows about, which we won't get into today because fuck those people.
Yeah. Well, we had a guy
like 1,200 miles long, like the dragon was.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a guy
fossilized dragon
called Edgewise that was convinced that there is a 1,200 mile long dragon, fossilized dragon. In Africa,
he said the eye was like hundreds of miles in diameter.
Correct.
Well, I mean, you got to give credit for imagination, but what really got me was that this is just a known phenomenon. We all see things, pattern recognition and clouds and everything else. Why would all of a sudden he jump to something that is something that actually exists? I don't know how his brain worked in that way. I don't look at a cloud and go, "Hey, there's Mickey Mouse. It must be Mickey Mouse."
Okay. Right. Well, to be fair, Steve, how much of the sticky icky did you take before looking at that cloud?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering. I'm thinking there was probably some altered states of consciousness going on.
He rage quit, didn't he?
Yeah.
He ended up rage quitting. That was so funny.
He couldn't figure out to first, though. He didn't know how to leave the discussion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He couldn't leave.
A dramatic exit didn't happen.
Let's see. Samuel Owen Hancock, I keep asking you, you keep spouting this stuff in the live chat, and I keep asking you where to send you a link. But funny, you keep ignoring that question and continuing to spout your bullshit. Where do I send you a link?
He's typing so hard he can't even hear the show coming from his speakers. He's raging. Probably.
Yeah. Kick your mic up a little bit, Kyle.
Here we go. There it is. Okay. So let me get him in here.
And, he's Steve, a concur. Oh, he's a concave.
Can you cover the some dead air?
Yeah, well, I can tell you what's going on in the live chat. I mean, first of all, we have a super chat. Carter Gio Gaio. I'm just going to call him Carter because I'm not Italian. I can't pronounce that last name. Gio Cassibi. God, I can't do it. I feel like Kyle. Gaio Bini. There you go. Close enough. He says he can see a dragon. Why can't he see a therapist? Thank you. That is there brilliant, actually. Oh,
because seeing dragons is free.
Amen.
But right. So I guess Shannon is a flat earther, and I'm trying to think what's going to happen there. Shannon is one of those people that has the patience of a saint. Let's be realistic. However, flat earthers can drive you fucking insane relatively quickly. And so I've never seen her engage with one, so I don't know where her threshold level of dumb is, right? I don't know where she's at the point where she's going to be like, okay, let's have a conversation. We have exchanging of ideas to you are just a fucking idiot and done with the conversation. Because I know she's got that point. I mean, I know she does, but I don't know how quickly it would be reached with something like Edgewise, right? I mean, where would she have gone with that?
Oh, she would have lost it on him. It would have been. It would have been amazing. It would have been amazing. Yes.
I know.
I think that even would have been too much for her. Ooh, we got stuff going on. Yep. That was a cool transition. Actually,
trying to set up another call real quick. All right.
But you know, it is kind of funny. Real quick. Right now. Getting the link right now, Hancock. Your mic is low, so they may not be hearing you too well. So if you can kick it up a notch, give
Last time it was too loud. That's why it's probably turned down.
Okay. But it is funny because we are always going, hey, you know, come challenge us. We don't mind. And by the way, unlike a flat Earth hangout, right? With all these groups that I go to, if you say something about round Earth, right, and that is making sense, what do they do to you?
Oh, they mute you. They kick you from the panel.
Every time, without fail. I mean, it's
is that better?
I mean,
a little too loud. A little bit too loud.
Yeah. Too loud. Okay.
But I would never kick anybody or mute them for making a good point. I want them to make a good point, even if the point is just trivial. If they say something right, I want them to do that. I'm happy when a flat earther gets some shit right. So I don't know why they think that we wouldn't have a fair platform for them. You know. Now try, Kyle.
Testing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Better. Okay. So Sean, you have the link now. And we'll see you when you get in here. Reds.
Did he give you confirmation that he's coming in?
In the live chat he did. He gave me his email address.
Yeah, in the live chat he said, give me the link.
So, okay. I assume he's coming in. Reds, how excited are you for the second?
The second?
Ned?
I can't feel my toes.
Sweet.
And it's like, wow. Ned is how I learned to become a grade A asshole. I learned all I know from him. He is the Red's rhetoric teacher, and I need to pay homage to the gentleman that inspired me to become this big of a cunt.
This is a big day.
He motivated me. He molded me into the cunt of a person that I am, and I have to thank him. I have to thank him for the inspiration, for the motivation, and the determination to be one of the biggest assholes on the internet, and for your guys' entertainment. So, yeah, it's this is going to be. I'm choking up right now, actually.
Excellent.
Well, I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool hard logic that made you the man you are, but that's okay.
No. Core logic. No one can even come close to.
He will always hold a special place in your heart.
Exactly.
While we wait on him, let's talk about this guy.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so first things first. I can't see any of you. It's incredibly bright up here. But thank you all for having me. The first day was absolutely incredible. And I do want to give a special shout out to my friend Mike for being the catalyst to all this. Shout out, Mike. I love you. He's one of my best friends.
Initial thoughts before we dive into exactly what he says. What are our initial thoughts about Logan Paul?
Do these people not know who he is? Do they not know his backstory?
Mm. It appears not. I don't. If they do, they really don't care. As long as he's putting forth their narrative, whether he believes it or not, which he doesn't. I don't think he believes any of this shit. He's a supposer. But these are flat earthers. They don't give a fuck. They just want to hear somebody to espouse their views.
Yeah, this is, to me, it's an unfortunate blow to the youth, because there will be people that will follow what this guy says, and he has no clue what he's talking about. I mean, he couldn't give you the arguments for Flat Earth or Globe Earth. He just doesn't know, and here he is promoting this, and it's a danger. It really is. It's a danger because kids are so wrapped up in the internet, and I guarantee you millions of kids have seen this, and what percentage of those millions of kids go, oh, you know what? College is a lie. That's all they're going to do. They're going to indoctrinate you. They're going to... Fuck, man. It's like, it's pathetic, man. Straight up. That's the way I feel about this guy.
Does anybody believe he's a flat earther for real?
Not a fucking chance.
No.
No. So, let's go to kind of the middle here, and just listen to some of the... Just listen.
Some of their best scientists can't explain gravity. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Fuck that.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye.
But we can.
if okay,
he,
so there
he can't though.
Yeah, he can't. He can't.
I don't think he's a flat earther, but I think he's dumb as one. Does that make sense? Because he wouldn't know how to defend it or show that it's round or not round. He would have no idea either way. He's an idiot.
Yep.
So he's on par with G-Man.
G-Man is the only person that I have ever seen that is unable to effectively communicate why he's justified to believe the Earth is round. He has no idea why the Earth is round.
he several times too hinted that he might swing that way.
Yes.
At the end of the day, do they even know?
Yes.
So I wanted to come here and explore for myself, do my best to keep an open mind, and you guys have been amazing. You have been so receptive to me and my friends.
Watch what he does here.
I want to say thank you for that. I've met a lot of great people here. Everyone's welcomed us with open arms, made a lot of amazing relationships. Hopefully, you know, some relationships that will last long into the future. But yeah, man, if like I said, if I'm going to do this and if I'm going to put my name out there, because I'm sure you guys know there's a stigma with being a flat earther.
If I'm going to put my name out there, which is bullshit. I mean, it's laughable.
Does anybody think he has any credibility to begin with? He's going to lose cred with this? When you have to appeal to flat earth to gain credibility, you're below them.
Sam, can you hear us?
Of course.
Sam.
Well, here's what I think, because I think that he's lost his credibility.
Can you hear me, guys?
I'm sorry,
yeah, we'll be with you in just a second. I just want to make sure that you're with us. We're going to finish this in just a second, and then we'll be right with you.
Excellent.
So I think that Logan Paul is on his way out. He doesn't have much more room to grow. Eventually, he's going to have to keep doing antics that are going to top what he's already done, but then he's going to lose subscribership because of the level of antic that he has to perform to keep up with his standard. So somebody went to him and said, hey, man, look, Flat Earth is growing. Probably this fucking Mike guy. Okay, Mike probably came to him and said, yo, Logan, Flat Earth is growing. Why don't you go say you're a flat earther? There's so many videos out there, so many people looking into this topic. And go look at trends. Google Trends will tell you flat earth is a trend. So this is his way of grabbing as many more subscribers, but that's only temporary. Because it's already out so much, but once there's so everybody knows that anybody that's a flat earther's a fucking idiot, you know, once they get that, then he's not going to be aligned with it anymore.
What happened here? What the hell? Hold on just a second. Before we get to Sam, I wanted to show you guys this. Just a second. We're going to play a game. Is this guy a Poe or is he serious?
Any Bible believer?
Stop.
I'm inspired by an ancient culture.
Yeah.
Mesmerizing.
Hold on.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
all right.
You.
Vigorous physicality. Beautiful. Unlimited.
It's called skip the fucking ad.
I'm trying. Chill.
And it's also called
unless
ad
it's a channel you like.
Learn to use it.
I'm honestly not sure what's happening here.
Okay. Can I ask you to stop now?
No, hold on. I've got to fix this.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Just,
are we having technical issues?
Here we go.
Okay. Dave, where are you?
Any Bible believer...
Here we go.
...who understands who the true creator is and researches what the creation account is in the book of Genesis and all throughout... The Earth, undeniably, it is stationary.
Now, what he's going to...
But no
watch
more
this.
Suspicious and suspect when I saw the full spectrum of this emblem right over the entry doorway. So I got to share this with you guys. It's very interesting. The Bible talks about the Earth, what, being on pillars... Right? That it's fixed, it's immovable, it's flat, and there's a dome over our head. Just go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 6.
Now, watch what he does here.
It talks about the firmament, the rakia. So here, Brunel University. What do you see right there? That's a dome.
How are
on
you
pillars. Now? See the flat surface. In fact, what I'm going to do is to get a better... To get better footage,
you know what? He's convinced me. Flat Earth confirmed.
See that?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
See?
I'm
got your
changing,
flat.
I'm changing
here's the dome.
Your flat.
The flat
plane.
Earth and
you
its own pillars.
Set on pillars.
Okay.
Can I just point out a word that Craig did yesterday? Pareidolia. Your brain will quite literally make connections that aren't fucking there.
What's the word of the weekend?
This is a guy called Your Curveless Earth. Your Curveless Earth is a gentleman that I debunked back in 2016. I debunked him by driving all the way to Daytona Beach and confirmed that he was lying about the locations that he was standing at when he was attempting to do curvature observations. I have already spoken about this dude. He is a piece of shit. He's also a child abuser because he homeschools his kids, will not allow them to learn any sort of rational science. This dude is just as much of a piece of shit as Nathan Oakley. Fuck this guy.
Must be a Nathan thing.
Not a Poe.
Not a Poe.
Is Flat Earth Doctrine
no,
now.
He's not a Poe.
That's his new name, Flat Earth Doctrine.
Flatter Doctrine, but his previous channel name was Your Curveless Earth, and like I said, I debunked this asshole a long time ago.
Sweet. Sam.
Yes.
Welcome.
But wait, there's also one more thing about the Logan Paul thing. Okay. About the Logan Paul thing, and then we can move on, because I was waiting for us to get done with that with us. But then we jumped into this clip, and that's when I said, stop!
You gotta be along for the train ride, Reds.
God damn it.
Catch up, Reds.
The fact is this, is that once upon a time, there was a guy in New York that had a golden BMW i8. And he was in the middle of New York City traffic, posing for pictures in front of this BMW i8 with all the doors open. A guy walked from behind and smashed the window in with a baseball bat for blocking New York City traffic. TMZ, fucking Fox, CNN, all these people went apeshit because there was some instant karma on this jackass. It was a prank. The guy who smashed in the window of the BMW i8 was the friend of the guy who actually owned the BMW i8. It was a joke. It was a fraud. But he played this up for I don't know how fucking long, but he got a lot of attention out of it. Logan Paul is doing the exact same thing, except he's actually using the flat earthers as the bat.
Good
so
point.
I think this is because this is what people will do to get all these views and get, you know, headlines and stuff like that. And this dude's channel spiked in popularity after this prank. So Logan Paul is doing the exact same thing because he needs to come back somehow after the whole body in the fucking forest thing.
What I find funny is that it would help Logan Paul out better to be a debunker of flat earth stuff, but he's just not fucking smart enough to do it.
Right, that's exactly. I agree. I mean, you can't be a dumbass to debunk some of this stuff. You do got to know a little bit about science and physics, I think, to really kind of hit it out of the ballpark, right?
So, Sam, tell us about you, sir. What's your story?
Thank you very much. It will take me 2-3 minutes. And just not interrupt, as triggered as you might get.
We can handle that.
Okay?
All right. You want two minutes? We'll give you. I'm going to time it. Go ahead.
Right. I came into the flat earth thing realizing we're not on a convex ball about 3 or 4 years ago. It took me about 2-3 years to realize that we live in concave earth by gathering all the bits of proof, by having it confirmed in various different ways. So when I stepped into Flat Earth, I thought that every Flat Earther was genuine against the elite. I've discovered that Samuel Robotham was just an agent of the elite. The Flat Earth has been set up by the elite. They used Cyrus T to gatekeep concave Earth and make it seem crazy and lead the opposition a century ago. Nowadays, they've been using the LSC cult to deflect in the various different ways. Flat Earth is a gatekeeping operation run by elite that have inverted cellular concave Earth. You invert cellular concave Earth, it gives you a geocentric glow. They've then displaced that while they come up with the heliocentric Big Bang model, etc. The ancient Egyptians knew we were in concave Earth. The gospel writers know we were in concave Earth. Father God is the innermost. Surrounding the outside of the Earth, it's known as the outer darkness. The fallen angels have been thrown out of heaven down to where we are. They're trying to use the elite to break back up in there. They're trying to penetrate the firmament. There's a jury about the John Dee conjurings that led to Silicon Revolution, this Industrial Revolution, and the smash atoms is all related to the elite trying to go to war with God inside concave Earth. the biggest piece of proof that's being hidden, as in Flat Earth's a coordinated psyop being run by the elite, and so they're telling you water's flat and that there's a dome and scripture says it's flat. They're hiding from you the plumb bob experiment. When you do get to it, they just try explain it away and excuse it away. If we were on a globe, plumb bob's hump would converge. They diverge. That's impossible on a globe. There's no flat working model. We live inside concave Earth. Welcome to the truth, everyone that's not a troll and not going to reject it. Thank you.
You said concave, right?
Yeah, cellular cosmology. Concave Earth, we're on the inside of the outer shell of the creation that's inside the Earth. They've inverted it. When we look up, we're looking on the inside, not the outside. The very slight curve that we can't detect that's there naturally with our eyes is concave and not convex. All the proof of this is there. I have a channel called Concave Water, Concave. And if you check that channel, all the proof's there.
Okay, so you mentioned the issue with plumb bobs. Are you looking at the line that a plumb bob makes going away from the surface of the Earth or towards the surface of the Earth that should be converging or diverging? Please explain that a little more, because on the face of it, it sounded like you had it backwards.
Brilliant. Basically, the experiments were done hanging the strings downwards, down, you know, what we call down below the surface of the Earth, down underground. Hanging, suspending these strings downwards, and okay, they ought to converge together, hanging downwards. They ought to get closer and closer to the central core of the globe, and converge downwards. They do.
That's how geodesic surveyors have established their tangent lines for their measurements. There's another great channel run by Jesse Kozlowski by his own name, where he actually addresses this and has talked about this at length.
Not to mention how much convergence and divergence are you seeing at the surface of the Earth? I mean, how big of an experiment can you do that takes into account already 6,371 miles to the center of the Earth? I mean, there's not going to be divergence.
It all matches up. It all lines up. It's conclusive. So we know that there's a surface area to the plane of the Earth, and that's correct. But they've inverted it. So we think that surface area is on the outside, i.e., the amount of curvature that they say is there is convex, is there concave? Now, if we were on a globe on the outside, there'd be a certain amount of measurable convergence of the bumps. This amount that it diverges, it's 8 inches over 450 feet. So they were 450 feet apart, and they were hung for 450 low. And there's eight and a quarter inch divergence there. You join that up, and it takes
you. How are they measuring that at 450 feet apart? How are they measuring that two objects that are both pointing to the same point are off at only 450 feet when they're pointing at a point that's 6,371 miles away? I don't think you get the point that the angles we're talking about are probably less than arc seconds.
Right, I'm just going to say this again for the viewers. 8 inches of divergence was measured twice. That's impossible on a globe. It would have to converge, regardless of anything else that you're going to put forward.
Hang on. This is exactly why I think you had it backwards. The divergence that these surveyors measured was going away from the surface of the Earth, which is what is expected on the globe.
Right.
Patience, child.
I'm not arguing.
Hang on.
If you're genuine, check my channel, check the plumb bob experiment.
Do you,
You've got my email address. It's total.
Do you want the actual answer to this, child?
You're my real elite. Night, everybody.
Yep, another genuine troll.
What has happened?
You're not going to
pitch out, are you?
No, does Lord Stephen Christ's dick still taste like curry to you? Did you suck his dick before he went to jail?
Wait, no,
Did he touch you in a very inappropriate way?
Reg, shut the fuck up. Hang on. Sam, are you still there?
God. No, he had to go suck Stephen's dick.
Sounded like he ran away, which, by the way, the point that I was trying to make, which is why he raged, and this is strictly for the audience, the divergence that these people measured were the zenith angles during geodesic surveying, which is the direction away from the surface of the Earth, which on a globe should diverge.
Well, yeah, and then of course it's going to diverge. I didn't get the chance to answer his world belief killer question, which would be, since the moon's so far away, we should get half the Earth seeing the moon at one time and half the Earth not being able to see the moon. How come two people on the opposite sides of this concave Earth can see the same sides of the moon, the same face of the moon? Because you shouldn't be able to do that. Yeah, you should be looking at two opposite sides of the moon.
Can you present to us the way they're looking at it? Okay, because he is a Lord Stephen Christ disciple. This is what I wanted to talk to him about, was Lord Stephen Christ, but whatever. So they're looking at a concave type thing. Where does the sailor come in? That's one thing I never really kind of grasped from what Stephen Christ was talking about. So the concavity, are they saying that we live in like a bowl, like a salad bowl?
Yes,
so like,
we live on
a plumb line like this.
So look at a basketball. What we know as the surface of the Earth, according to them, is on the inside skin of the basketball, with the entirety of the cosmos and sky filling the rest of the void in between.
If you look straight up from the North Pole, you should be looking directly at the South Pole.
I get that now. So the concavity is such that if you had a plumb line, the plumb line always going to be... When it moves to a mountain, it's just because it's going to. I'm trying to picture this in my head. I'm having a hard time. If you're in the side of the basketball, unless you have a mountain, right? Because normally on a sphere, if you have a mountain range, the plumb line is going to pull toward that mountain range, right? It's going to be offset. Now, how does that work on the concavity? I mean, if the mountain is like way the fuck over here, shouldn't it be pointing like this way?
It should be pointing towards the observer in that instance, yes, and it's not.
Yep. And also to go back to what Team Skeptic was going at, but I was in the background just doing some numbers, and 364,604.24 feet equals one full degree of curvature for the 360-degree circle. The distance that he was talking about, I just assumed 500 feet since he said 400 something. He's basically saying that whatever method he used for the plumb bobs was accurate enough in its measurement to discern 0.0013 degrees. I want to know his methodology behind getting so accurate.
Yeah, we're talking about arc seconds there, I believe.
Yep, 0.00137174211 degrees. Yeah, that is some next level shit when it comes to accuracy. Please tell me your methodology, because that level of accuracy, holy shit, dude.
Yeah, Jesse Kozlowski could use whatever piece of equipment you got.
Seriously.
Well, that was an unfortunate ending, I think.
I just want to know if Lord Stephen Christ's dick still tastes like curry.
Is Lord Stephen Christ? Is he still in jail?
He's still in the happy house.
Okay, and is he under medical evaluation, or is he going to be indicted on criminal threat to the president?
Let's be kind here and say that he's under parental supervision.
Okay. Now, so the people that may not know what the hell the backstory with this guy is, he a long time ago, he was investigated for having criminal threats against Obama, I believe it was. And
yes.
That they investigated and they put him on a list, but they didn't find no actionable intelligence where he was a credible threat. Then he does the same thing to Trump. Now he's found to be a credible threat, and they arrested him. And he's been in the loony bin ever since. That's the story behind the Lord Stephen Christ of cellular earth theory.
Basically, some dude who thinks he's Jesus thought it was a great idea to threaten the president. They got him in the Happy House slammer, and that's where he is right now because he did it again like a dumbass. Apparently, he didn't learn his lesson the first time.
Yeah, they need to keep that guy locked up.
Yeah, they do. They listed Stephen.
He thinks he's Jesus. I forgot about the part. We got to clarify. He thinks he's Jesus.
He thinks he's Jesus. He thinks he's God. But what I told him in a live stream of mine, I said, "Listen, Lord Stephen Christ, it doesn't matter if you think you're Jesus. In America, you're the government's bitch, and they will make you one." And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's true.
So the government got involved, and there's like, "Oh, okay, you see this cock? Suck it." And that's what he's doing right now.
Well, up until the point that he went to jail.
For one reason. I actually do miss LSC for one reason. Because every time he got angry and put a curse on me, something amazing happened in my life.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I'll tell you. Go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead. I was just saying, he had said if he became the king of the United States, that he would put me in a FEMA camp.
He said that if he was the king of the United States, that that he would take every possession away from me and like make me do science experiments for him because I'm, quote, a smart asset to his new kingdom. And I'm like, are you like what drugs are you on?
Well, he thinks he's the new coming of Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you, I had the unfortunate pleasure of watching many of his videos because I watch a lot of Flat Earth debunk videos. So I'll always come across his little 3 or 4 minute video. And he was literally the next coming of a Charles Manson. I mean, he was getting people, getting young kids on his side. They were tattooing on their body his family crest. Some bullshit that somebody just drew up for him one day. And these people are tattooing it on their body. I mean, they were dedicated to doing whatever he said.
He's kind of cold. Hold a cult following. He's a cult leader. Yep. No question about it.
He needs to remain in jail forever.
He would be the next Charles Manson. But see, the thing is that he should take lessons from a guy like me. For example, I have a following known as Team Cunt. However, you don't see me telling people to tattoo shit on their fucking bodies.
So that
do not tattoo Team Cunt on your forehead. That is a bad idea.
Red, you prefer the mushroom stamp anyways.
I already got a tattoo on my third eye.
I don't need
a
tattoo the red space in my ass. I already have an asshole. It's already the closest thing I need.
There we go.
The tattoo of reds. Want to see what this looks like? I'll bend over, okay?
Okay, Kyle, what do we have here?
We're going to talk about weather patterns now on a flat Earth.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's do that.
Is this a rich video?
I was going to ask, is this their meteorologist of choice?
Let's find out.
Can we just mute the
on
music?
On a globe or a recognized map make...
Well, he's going to be talking.
He loses 100 points just for the robotic voice.
I know.
Off the bat.
It's hard to take it seriously, but let's try.
Absolutely no sense. Take those same jet streams and weather patterns and place them on a flat Earth map and see what happens. Ocean currents and temperature patterns form concentric circles that fit perfectly where the sun and moon make their spiral rotations around the flat Earth. Moreover, because the sun and moon are plowing through the atmosphere, flat Earth
plowing
model, approximately at the equator circle, it makes sense as to why storms often spin in opposing directions in the northern and southern hemispheres.
Stop it right there, Kyle.
All right.
It's completely wrong. The actual Coriolis effect that we see in weather systems can only be done on a rotating sphere, with the equator rotating faster than any other line of latitude on the planet. And if it was a flat Earth, for any rotation to occur, you would have to have the actual Earth underneath it spinning. That would create the different speeds to create the circular rotation. And the problem is if it was a flat Earth, then the velocity would continue to go up as you go out towards Antarctica. So you would always, every single time, you would have a counterclockwise rotation all the way down to the Antarctica, to the ice
there's
wall.
There's actually a really good demonstration of what Team Skeptic is talking about at Neil deGrasse's little museum in New York, which I had the privilege of going to. And it is a flat table with a certain type of Newtonian fluid on it that rotates, that you can actually see exactly this effect. And guess what? It doesn't fit with the flat Earth model. And it doesn't fit with reality.
Well,
So basically, he's getting the physics wrong on how it would work on his own flat Earth, and he's getting the actual facts wrong on how it actually works in reality.
But don't they outright by fiat say that the Coriolis effect isn't actually something that exists? So they have to be able to explain the phenomenon, right? When we shoot a projectile or something, and because the Earth is rotating, then there's going to be an apparent divergence from the point of origin. That's what we see as a Coriolis effect, right? It's actually traveling in a straight line with respect to itself, but with the Earth, it's going to be a curve. So how do they explain that phenomenon if the Earth isn't moving? Because there's a difference between what we see. And we can see that from a different perspective that it does curve, and we have to account for it when we launch something, right? Because if not, it would end up going here, and it goes over here.
Apparently, yes. The sun and moon are fucking oars off the side of the boat that is their bullshit flat Earth. That's how they're trying to make it work. Basically, as the sun and moon are spinning in on top of their bullshit flat Earth, it's also dragging the atmosphere with it, and that leads to a whole bunch of problems. And particularly, they don't seem to understand what happens when you row with spheres. It doesn't do what they think it does.
Okay, let's see what else he says here.
The fast-moving river of air that controls weather over Northern Europe and North America is undergoing a dramatic shift that could lead to harsher winters. Scientists believe the jet stream which girdles Earth is increasingly taking a longer, meandering path, causing weather patterns to become stuck. This could result in longer and harsher winters over North America and Northern Europe, according to researchers in Chicago. The jet stream is a ribbon of high altitude, high speed wind in northern latitudes that blows from west to east. It is formed when the cold Arctic air clashes with warmer air from further south. The greater the difference in temperature, the faster the jet stream moves.
So what's his point there? Anybody know? He's
basically explaining basic fluid dynamics.
Yeah, he is trying to say that the jet stream, as the path that it goes on, is only possible on a flat Earth. Bullshit.
Yeah. In fact, I like how one of the diagrams that he used to explain his shit was on a globe model. Good job. Yeah. You were right for 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Jet streams act as an invisible director of the atmosphere and are largely responsible for changes in the weather. Winds in this high-speed river of air often reach 250 miles per hour. Storms are guided in a generally west-to-east fashion due to jet streams.
Has he looked at weather on the West Coast? Hey, Steve, how often were storm systems coming down from the mountains out towards the Pacific Ocean?
No, they almost always come in from the Pacific. Just for where I'm at, sometimes they too come in from like San Diego, come into the mountains range over here, and they drop the moisture just like right over us. So I do get from where I'm at, I get it from that, from all directions. But usually it comes in from the Pacific and it hits Long Beach, and then it hits us about 2 hours later.
Well, yeah, because the moisture comes in that way. But again, still, you're getting weather systems from the mountains down towards the shore in California at certain times. So it's not always west to east.
No, I get it from the other way too. Sometimes it depends. Like we'll have it come down from Yucca Valley. You know, go. I'll have it come down west that way from Yucca. Oh shit!
Sorry.
Ouch.
I'll have it come that way. Then sometimes it'll come east to west if it's coming from the Santa Rosas. So it depends here where I'm at. I've seen both.
Okay, this next video starts off kind of rough, but it clears up in just a second. I've turned it down, so hopefully that won't be that big of an impact.
Oh.
What the fuck is he doing?
Wait. Pause it. What? How the fuck did you get this video from Pig?
it does sound like he's chewing on his microphone the entire time. It's well, just watch.
I don't want to watch. It's creepy. Oh, for fuck's sake!
There's no curve. Also, the sun is. The sun is not setting, it's in the distance.
Does anyone else see the problem with what he's using right now?
Go ahead.
Notice how the wonderful horizon starts to distort up at the edge of the lens?
There's a lot of distortion towards the size of the
nice choice of lens there.
Not just that, but they still don't explain the fact why the sun is on the horizon, why it's not above the horizon like it should be, or why it's still maintaining an angular size similar to what it's maintained the entire fucking day. I mean, there's a lot of problems these guys have to explain.
It doesn't explain if it goes higher, if he goes higher, how come he will be able to see more of the sun? And if he goes lower, there's more of the sun will vanish. How does he explain that?
Also, I find it absolutely phenomenal that Kyle has been able to find one of the worst Flat Earther videos on the face of the fucking internet with audio quality that is going to make me kill a puppy. Do you want to know something, Kyle? You just killed a puppy today by showing this video. I want you to understand. I am going to send you a video of me bludgeoning a puppy to death, and you have no one to blame but
yourself.
That's
extreme.
Don't bludgeon the one I mailed to you.
Hey, by the way, be glad Jackie's not listening because she loves puppies and everyone loves puppies. I'm for Jackie, I'm non sequitur, but I'm not bludgeoning him. Okay.
Yeah, everyone loves puppies.
We all love puppies.
I just thought this was a good
all the time. You were demonstrably wrong. This was not good.
I mean, it's a good visual.
Kyle.
It's a good example of the Dunning-Kruger effect where somebody thinks that they get a small amount of equipment and a small amount of understanding and they lack complete understanding of everything else, like complete understanding of the lens that he's using, complete understanding of what he's actually showing, which is proof of a globe Earth right here. Mm-hmm. And then they just go out and they're like, look, it's flat Earth proof. And then there's these other dumbasses that come up right behind him and go, oh my God, yeah, he's fucking right. Look at the sun. It doesn't look like it's going over the horizon. It just looks like it's going fucking away.
Yeah, and by the way, Kyle, I just want you to know my weapon of choice against that puppy will be a cheese grater.
Ooh, I seen him do it.
What do puppies do to you, man? I don't get it, man. Why so?
Now
why
you
so
have to blame Kyle. He brought this on himself.
Blame Kyle.
Let's take a look at this one. This goes into the NASA files, NASA lies files.
Oh, this will be fun.
Why am I doing this to myself?
Okay,
you hate your life.
I hope it's the Vincent Rhodes one.
This is
decide just to see what's out there.
There were no bright stars. There were no known radio sources, X-ray sources.
I found this through a flat earther that posted and said, explain this, globetards.
That we knew nothing. It wasn't until we added them all up that it was apparent that there were 2,500 galaxies, most of them really faint.
And those galaxies were moving very fast.
They seem to be going.
Basically, they're saying that there are things in space traveling faster than the speed of light.
Okay. Yeah, me.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray. I'll let you get it.
Okay. Here's the thing. Space time. The fabric of space time stretching. Okay. That. And then you have a ray of light traveling in space time. And as it's traveling through space time itself is getting stretched. Get it? Are you getting where I'm going? So let's say you have a car that's doing 200 miles an hour, and this car cannot go faster than 200 miles an hour. However, let's say you're on one of those airport walkways that make you walk faster. Now all of a sudden that 200 mile an hour car that can't break 200 miles an hour is now breaking 200 miles an hour relative to you, which is not on a moving platform. All right, and let's go ahead and say that platform is a pretty good representation of what space-time is doing. It's taking light and the actual travel of light along for the ride as space-time expands.
Yeah, I think the problem that flat earthers have, though, is that they suggest that nothing can go faster than the speed of light, which actually isn't the case. It's absolutely nothing with mass or starts off without going faster than the speed of light can go faster than the speed of light. So if you're already sub-C, you can never go faster than C. But space-time isn't mass. Space-time can go... We expand up to any acceleration. One of the
years,
experiments they're doing is
people...
making a warp bubble called the Akubari metric or Akubari bubble to go to another star faster than the speed of light. But the ship isn't actually going faster than the speed of light. What's happening is the space time. It's like riding a wave. The water's not really moving very fast, but the wave moves pretty good, right? So the space time itself is moving. In this case, it's expanding extremely fast. Much faster.
Yeah,
than
yes, that's all it is. Now, keep in mind,
that's all it is. Right.
Information
which is allowed to do.
Information cannot get from one point in space time to another point in space time faster than the speed of light. However, that rule does not apply to the fabric of space time itself. Right. Just saying.
Well, but they don't get that part, right? All they hear is, "Oh, nothing can go faster than the speed of light," because they don't understand the physics, right? They don't know there's some parameters to that are perfectly in line with Einstein's equations.
Well, yeah, they're forgetting the crucial bit of that in its inertial frame of reference. In its own frame of reference, it cannot break C. However, once you change that frame of reference, that is not its local. Then you can play with it in that way. And what you were talking about, the Alcubierre drive that has been postulated, it essentially creates a negative pressure in space-time at the front of the ship while translating that to a positive on the backside to essentially cause a ripple that pushes it along.
Yeah, it creates a differential using negative energy or negative mass, I believe, right. Yeah. How do you pronounce his name? I say Alcubierre, but...
Alcubierre.
How do you...
Alcubierre.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna say it from now that way from now. Alcubierre.
By the way, quick shout out to the 750 people watching. Thank you for tuning in. Maybe we can hit 1,000. That's gonna be our goal. Vegan atheist Corral says no puppies will be harmed in the making of this video. Virtual head bop for Reds. I agree.
Hi, vegan.
Team skeptic vegan, says vegan. No promises made.
So.
Say hi. She's a super chat. Hey, say hi to Vegan Atheist Coral. She's from the Atheist Experience.
Cool. Last week when we did this, guys, Deanna was the main star of our show. Remember, the Earth is not Blake.
Yes. Hey, before you go any further, do you know that I did a video about her?
I do. You want to talk about that for a little bit?
No. I mean, if you have something already planned, we can get through it.
Go ahead and talk about her dangerous gravity experience, but this is her video that we're getting ready to watch. This is her newest video. But, yeah, go ahead and talk about your video.
Okay, so I did a video on her video claiming that gravity doesn't exist. The majority of the video was just a misunderstanding on her behalf of what the difference between mass and weight is. She keeps saying, you fall because you're heavy. You fall because you weigh more. And, yes, that's correct. You weigh more than the volume of air that would occupy your same whatever volume that your body occupies, approximately 71 liters. So that's where it comes in, because actually the atmosphere is way heavier than all humans added together. So we could add all the humans on Earth, and it wouldn't even come close to 1% of 1% of the weight of the atmosphere. So by that logic, we should be floating on top of the atmosphere. Well, she suggested that, or she said, you know, well, this you can tell this because you can put a baby in a bathtub and it'll float. And I stopped her video there and I said, no, because while I know that she's not saying put a baby in a bathtub, watch it float, that's not what she's saying. But what she is suggesting is something that has nothing to do with gravity. I mean, it does have to do with gravity. Gravity's always there. But then at some point, when you reduce the surface area of the water and the weight of the baby and the way the baby spread out, you will have an ability for the baby to somewhat float on top of the water. Now, the baby changes its density by exhaling the air in its body or bringing its arms in closer. Guess what? It will sink and go below. So if a flat earther puts a baby in a bathtub and sees it starting to float and goes, oh, shit, look, that's proof gravity doesn't exist, and then runs to go get their phone to make a, you know, documented proof like we always ask them to do, well, they run the risk of drowning their child. And I'm not cool with that. So I had the community go over there and have her take her video down, and she did.
Yeah, if they're going to drown anyone, they should drown themselves.
Let's see, Flat Earth Victoria. You want to come in?
Oh, Vicky, the jackass who can't give their email to get a link to go on Red's channel. You think that they're going to be able to hear?
The Mind of God's here as well.
But on a funny note, Kyle, she made two response videos, one where she took it down and the other one, I left her a message saying, look, if you want to come onto my show and explain what you meant, and I can explain why I said I had a problem with it, you're more than welcome to. I'm very polite to people that are on my show. I'll give you your forum to talk. That way, people don't just think you're some kind of baby killer or anything like that. So she put out a second response video. He's like, he reached out to me and told me I could do that, and I decided not to because he called me a fucking idiot 33 times in his video.
Yeah. Also, a quick thing.
Sure.
Mind of God, we already debunked your gravity vector nonsense like a long time ago, so you're going to have to come up with some new material if you're expecting me to entertain that bullshit. Also, Flat Earth Victoria, Canada. Hey, Vicky, what's up, bitch? Hey, we're going to need an email from you so that we can send you the link to this live stream so we can put your views up for scrutiny.
Yeah, Mind of God, Still Closer, and Flat Earth Victoria. Somebody give me an email, and we'll get you in.
Yeah, no, we've been trying to get Vicky to actually accept an invite into the fucking Hangouts that we host, and also now the non sequiturs. So I think this will be 4 live shows that Vicky has refused to show up on, but yet continues to spew nonsense in the live chat.
Such a shame.
I know it is. And you know, we've been pointing this out previously that, you know, people like Patricia Steer, Mark Sargent, D Marble, and all these other guys, you know, they're more than happy to spew bullshit from their YouTube channel, but when it's time to call them out and stuff, oh, they tuck their tails and fuck right off at the speed of sound. I mean, we all know it took 2 years for Jism to finally man the fuck up and debate me, and we all saw that turned out.
You know, Kyle, you should reach out to M. Benz right now and see if he'll come on.
I think we've reached out to Mark Sargent, and we've reached out to Red Orphan Red. They run like a little fucking bitch. And Patricia Steer. None of these people will ever come on any kind of platform.
Somebody did reach out to M. Benz, and he said something like,
he doesn't debate.
Yeah, or that we're not fair, or something like that. One of those things.
All right. Whatever, man. He's scary. He's a scary little punk.
The thing is that if you watch a video by Team Skeptic. Team Skeptic made a video to M. Benz, and all M. Benz was like, oh, wow, look at this thumbnail. It's so funny. I just want you to know that my channel is not a debate channel. I'm just here educating you guys, not even attempting to respond to the criticisms that Skeptic actually made towards them. No attempts whatsoever. You're like, dude, if you're attempting to educate people, you should at least have some kind of a comeback, but not even a... didn't even fucking try because he knew that he was out of fucking luck.
Oh, Red, what about when we were doing a live analysis of a couple of his videos and we start seeing comments get censored and then we call it out and it stops
And then we mention that, and it starts again. It's almost like he was watching us.
Yeah, he was watching, but not only that, what was even funnier is that this dude was like, I don't care about the comments, you can comment on all my channels and stuff like that, only to remove the ability to comment on any of his videos, as well as take down the ratings. So his ratings are not visible to the public, and you don't have the ability to comment on his bullshit YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm. Here's the actual comment that he left on my video, and I have it pinned. So, it's grammatically correct as it states. Any who comes to my channel to leave some ridiculous, useless comment from any of Team Skeptic videos will be blocked. Thanks in advance. Well, he got 206 replies, but only 17 likes.
CW, if you want a link, I'll give you one as well. And real quick, Schrodinger's cat says, "Happy Baller Day! I have my gear. Do you?"
Yes.
CW.
I have your email. I have a shirt with the NASA logo, but instead of NASA, it says "Nerd" in the middle. I'm gonna wear that. And also, we are about 2 hours officially from the start of International Baller Day. If you're on the only time zone that actually matters.
Eastern.
No.
Yes.
Okay, Mind of God, you have the link, and CW, if you give me your email, I will send you a link as well.
If Mind of God comes in, can we just make sure he doesn't use the word orthogonal at all?
Orthogonal. That's like the word of the fucking century for that guy.
Yeah. Well, orthogonal and Occam's Razor. That's Wotan's. Occam's Razor.
Orthogonal, Occam's Razor, and Vector.
I've noticed through the Flat Earth community that somebody will bring up a word that's awkward, and then it'll just make its way, or a phrase, and it'll make its way through the entire fucking
community. I have done that before, motherfucker. I have done that word. I have done that experiment. There's a word, I swear to motherfucking God, people. There was a word that I knew of, and it was called mooncalf. I know for a fact that nobody has fucking heard of this fucking word before, right? But it means a foolish person. And so I was talking to people. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this word, and I want to see how many people start using it eventually. And guess what happened? People started using this word in the debate community, and I was like, holy shit, that was weird. It really does work.
Speaking of vectors,
you're going to go hear this and be using this word.
Yeah, hang on. We have from 25 Poland. It is, you guys got at least one fan Poland smiley face. To that, I'm going to completely suck at this. It's Yakshimash and Dziękuję. Hope I said that right.
Where do you see that at?
It's a super chat.
Yeah, but where do you see that? Where do you see that name that you just said?
No, God damn it! It means "How are you?" and "Thank you" in Polish.
Oh.
Good for you.
Yeah,
you.
Assholes! I'm actually trying to include those in Not America, and the one time I do, you guys fuck it up. Okay,
that was bad of me. Sorry.
You should know better by now.
So, Mind of God, welcome back.
Hey, Kyle, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Not too much. Same old. How are you guys?
We're good. Happy Baller Day.
I'm actually really good now because the Polish dude in the live chat said I nailed it. Top that shit, motherfuckers.
Good. Good for you, Reds. So, yes. Mind of God, have you heard anything that you disagreed with that we've been talking about?
I don't know, the weather patterns and all that stuff is definitely not, up my alley. But I did have a question because I got a little bit of, feedback from George Natchek on our last call. So I don't know if it's appropriate, if I can kind of put it out there and see what, people here think about his response and
sure,
all that. So I suspect people remember me as the orthogonal gravity guy. From the last time. But so just to give kind of a picture of what I posed on my channel and what I think a lot of flat earthers will, you know, lean on early in their journey as something that they have a problem with. But so picture this, like, imagine you have like an arch somewhere on the ball earth, just for kind of exaggeration, think of it on the left side. I guess it obviously doesn't matter in ball earth world, but just picture it there. So it's only being held to the ball by gravity. And then imagine anything underneath that arch, something that is fragile. We know from our experience that that fragile item is not getting crushed. You know, just that's known. So now the part that I wanted to kind of clarify from my last talk was the gravity vector, if we can model it as a vector, which I still think might be an open question, that is acting on that arch is going through, in some way, the items that are beneath it. Does anyone disagree with that, at least as a starting point?
I have no idea what you just said, but I'm going to go with that.
I'll actually take this if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so mine have got, let's go ahead and do another thought experiment that does the exact same thing as gravity does. You do know that gravity is also defined as an acceleration, correct?
I've heard that, yes.
Perfect. All right, so let's imagine we have a donut. Now let's cut that donut in half. We have a big arch, correct?
Okay.
Let's put that arch just floating in space, okay?
No, wait. I don't want to. Why do we need to do this?
Because if you can supply us with a thought experiment, I believe I have the privilege of doing the exact same to you.
Okay, can we do mine first, or do you want to shelf that and go with this one?
No. We'll do yours, but I'm just trying to get you to understand where I'm coming from, because it will show you how what you're proposing does not make any sense on why that smaller arch should be crushed.
Fair enough.
All right, so just work with me here. The two actually do intersect. So we have a big arch just floating there in space. Now let's imagine we have a smaller arch floating inside of the bigger arch. They're not touching because the sizes are too different. One is a lot smaller than the other, okay? And they're just floating in space. One is obviously not crushing the other, right?
Agreed.
Okay, good. Now let's go ahead and build a very long box. Let's say this box is 100 miles long, and we're boxing around these arches. Now I'm gonna start accelerating that box so the bottom starts going towards those arches at 9.8 meters per second squared. During the entire time that box is accelerating towards those arches, up until the moment of impact, those arches are not going to crush each other, correct?
How are they not crushing each other at this point? Like, how are you allowing them to not touch, not interact?
Because we're just leaving them there in space. They're not, no force is being acted upon them. So for the sake of this thought experiment, we're going to assume that we have the ability and the capability to leave them perfectly still in just empty space with a box built around them, and with that box having the ability to accelerate the bottom of that box towards them. But during the entire transit of the bottom of the box heading towards them at 9.8 meters per second squared, the bigger arch is not going to crush the smaller one, correct?
I guess, but you see how this is not real, right? My experiment is my thought experiment is something physical. This thing of magically hanging two things in the air, we can't do that, right? Like, that's not...
No, I understand that we can't do that, but however, the principle is exactly the same to how it actually works in reality, because the gravitational acceleration that I am positing in this thought experiment is the same type of acceleration that we can apply to your own example. So, for example, let's go ahead and put those arches in that same acceleration field, where one is not touching the other, but they're both being, you know, pressured on the floor. Now let's imagine the walls of the box, but not the floor itself, just the walls, are sliding down at 9.8 meters per second squared. The arches are still not going to crush each other because acceleration doesn't give a damn about what is in front of what. Acceleration works on everything independent on what is in front of what. So in other words, it doesn't matter if you're in the front seat of the car or in the backseat of the car. If I accelerate really fucking hard, you're going to feel the same amount of force in the backseat as someone in the front seat is going to feel. The front seat is not going to block that acceleration from hitting your body or that acceleration force from being influenced on your body. See what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that in a way that might support a bit of what my issues are with this thought experiment. But
okay.
You can clarify, because this is, I think you're dealing with things in motion, and I'm dealing with two things at rest, you know, on the earth. I'm not sure if different rules apply in that situation.
No, they're the same. Gravity can be looked at as acceleration. Gravitational acceleration is literally no different than the type of force you would feel if me accelerating in a car. It's just that on Earth, you're always in a frame of acceleration, if you will. And in a car, it eventually hits a top speed.
Red, can we maybe make it a little bit simpler? Because I think you're kind of even overcomplicating it a bit. You've lost me. And if you lost me, I have. Somebody even noticed, it's called the equivalence principle, basically saying that the rate of acceleration is equal to the amount of curvature of gravity. So basically, all it's saying is this. If I'm in an elevator and it's going up, I have the same amount of acceleration as if I'm actually having a thrust from a rocket in space. There's no difference I would know. Same thing with gravity. If I'm in a field that has a gravitational field of 9.8 meters per second squared, I'm going to feel that force as if I was actually accelerating, because it's, that's why they call it the force under the acceleration of gravity, right? That's all it's saying. That's all the equivalence principle is saying. So if I'm not mistaken, they still haven't figured out a way where we can determine one or the other if we're in such a situation, is if we're actually accelerating or as if it's actually a gravitational field. They are equivalent to each other, right? So I'm not seeing why either one of your experiments are incongruent with each other.
Okay, well, wait, let's just go with my, if you don't mind, let's just go with the simple thing, and then you know, I'll leave it to the panel to dialogue, and it may have a simple explanation, but I didn't
after
get
you get
any.
Done, I'd like to give you an opportunity to model gravity in your head, no problem at all, and you would not, if you have intellectual integrity and honesty, then you'll walk away saying that there's a vector pointing straight down at the ground, 100% for sure. But go ahead with your thought experiment.
Okay, so you guys, you know, like that archway, you know, like our friend Nathan Roberts had at that university. Imagine like some arch, right? But it's like very, very heavy, like massive.
Oh,
whatever
the, like your, like the Gateway Arch in St. Louis.
Yeah, like the firmament. No, I'm just kidding. So just imagine like an arch, you know, and it's extremely heavy.
Except I gave a real example.
Yeah. So whatever you want to picture, it's like it's an arc that has room underneath of it for something to sit. And let's say, you know, like a bunny or some animal or something fragile is underneath that arch. Can everybody picture that as a starting point?
Sure.
Okay. So let's imagine that arch, you know, I understand or I was told that to truly get the real effect of gravity, it needs to be integrated across the whole volume. But let's model that arch for now at its like center of mass. And so it has a vector, I think it was Skeptic was saying, pointing, you know, towards the center of the Earth. Correct. That is the thing that is responsible for things there, right?
Yes.
Governed by that formula, you know, M1, M2, and all that. So, and then now we have another item beneath it that is fragile and but is not overcome by that vector, correct? Like we all observe this, you know, it's like not getting crushed. So we have two vectors that are in the same space, like along the same column, and then they're both responsible for holding those two items against the Earth, and they're not interacting, they're not interfering. Do you guys agree with me so far? Are we okay?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So this is where maybe I didn't do a good job explaining it on my first talk. This is where, in my mind, if I'm going to characterize those two vectors mathematically and create a field, those two vectors are independent, and in my mind, I view independence as orthogonal. You can call them independent, you can call them orthogonal. They are not interfering. Their magnitudes are not, you know, constructively and destructively interfering with one another. That is not a problem mathematically, but you have to then have a way to describe them mathematically because they're in the same space. So they have to be orthogonal in some way, and it cannot be orthogonal.
We did, though. We did describe them.
It's actually really simple. It is actually exceptionally simple because you are trying to inject a third body of mass into the equation where when you're looking at gravitational attraction between two bodies, those are the two bodies you're worried about. The only time you worry about a third is if you actually have a third massive enough body to be a part of the system in totality to have a significant influence on each other. Because another thing you're forgetting is, in reality, that smaller object below the larger one actually does experience a very, very slight effect of the gravitational field of the larger object above it. It's just so negligible, unless you are getting down to the minutia of an actual engineering analysis, you can ignore it.
Okay, a lot of people in the live chat were pointing something out. So let me try something else, and this is actually very easy. Okay, so
don't get that, dude. That's not. Don't. Why are people defining that way?
No. I'm going to try something different. Okay. Let's imagine that you had, and this is something you can actually do, and in fact, I encourage you to do it. You may look like an idiot while doing it, but who cares how you look? So thank you. So let's imagine you had a small plank of wood, okay, that was 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot, okay? So just, or one by one, just a small plank of wood. On this small plank of wood, you hung it up on four corners by a string so that you could swing it above your head, okay? So that table that you're going to make, you're going to put these arches on, okay? As you swing that table around and around and around, putting that centrifugal force on those objects as they're sitting on this table so that they don't fly off, you know, stuff like that, is the bigger arch going to crush the smaller one that's underneath it if you were to introduce that force?
I have no idea what you just said, Matt. Sorry, can you try another?
Sure thing. Okay, you have a small table attached to a string, okay? Mm-hmm. You can spin that, you can spin it around and around above your head. You know how you used to do with a really long rope?
Mm-hmm.
You know, spinning all around? Okay, now imagine that while it's spinning, you can put stuff stays on it because of the centrifugal force. Follow me so far?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, of the stuff that you put on that table, which is going to stay on there because of the centrifugal force, you put mm-hmm. those two arches. You have the bigger arch, and then you have the smaller arch that is right under it. So let's say the bigger arch is made of concrete and the smaller arch is made of poorly held together Rice Krispie treats. So as that object is being spun around above your head, is the bigger object going to collapse the smaller one below it?
Dude, I have no idea. Like,
I recommend you try it and see what happens, because I guarantee the bigger one is not going to crush a smaller one.
I'm going to play this back, and I have to honestly think about that a bit more. But I don't see what, you know, okay, if that's needed to explain what I'm talking about, if we can just quickly go back to this. So we have these two things. I get Jared's point of there's a interaction between the arch and the bunny, even though it's small relative to the big M, the center of the Earth. I get that. Okay? But do we agree that that force vector is occupying the same space in three-dimensional space? We agree with that, correct? It's along the same...
No. They don't occupy the same space. They point to the same point.
Sure, but that's the same thing. It's the same thing.
No. That's completely different. You're not occupying anything there. It's not a force buildup. You know, you don't put things in line with each other and the forces add up all the way down to the center of the Earth. So that one gravitational line that, let's say they're all stuck on one plumb line, so they're all directly above each other. That one gravitational line isn't going to be stronger there just because those things are all in line. those vectors don't add up on top of each other. Okay, they're just they're a characteristic. They're a variable that can be used to explain what frame of reference that particular object is in.
Okay, so that gets to my point that George was saying that it obeys superposition, which I don't think is true, and I need to kind of iron that out with him, but I think he's confused. But I agree with you in the sense that they don't add together, but then now my question is, they're in the same place, they're the same thing, they're the same type of force, so how are they not interacting? How are they not constructively and destructively hurting each other?
They are.
For the same exact reason that you being in a car, you're not going to get more force on you just because someone is in front of you.
But right. By this
everything definition, everything is in that. Well, everything is in that gravitational acceleration. It's not that the things above it are going to make the things below it accelerate faster.
Exactly.
I'm not saying
okay. I don't know what video you guys are talking about, but I can try to understand it because I'm not understanding this. And no offense, if I'm not understanding it, probably a few people in the audience are not as well understanding it either.
Don't worry, I'm breaking out the crayons right now.
I need crayons, man. I've got some finger paints here. But are you trying to? Real simple. Are you trying to say that multiple objects in the same field, if they're at different levels with respect to like the ground, should be accelerating at a different rate, or are you saying that should have equal a different force to them because in a field it does change, right? I mean, the higher you go, the less
I think
gravity you have.
The way I think he's trying to explain it is if you increase things over on a certain plumb line, you are going to increase the gravitational acceleration caused by the Earth, which is incorrect.
No.
Why would that be the case?
Like, let's keep it simple.
Because it's adding the vectors up. It's adding all those vectors up.
Let's let him explain what he meant.
I might again need to like articulate this even more crisper, but just think of this very simply. This is the setup and it's real and it's physical. It's essentially a free body diagram and we need an explanation, not just me, but others, that there is a force vector that's responsible for keeping that arch in place, correct? From the center of mass. Yes. Okay, so there
You're
is, right?
I mean, but if it's an arch and it's being held up, it's not being held up by the force of gravity. Gravity's trying to pull it down. The force
is holding him up. I'm seriously getting what he's saying now. Okay, so you're saying you have an arch. Let's just say you have like an arch on the ground, like a rainbow type arch. Okay?
Yes.
Gravity's heavy. Pulling down every part of that arch pretty well equally. I mean, a nominal amount, depending on how high it is, right? But gravity's trying to pull that down. What's happening is you now have vectors that are pushing on each other because the arch itself, right, it's pressing on each block next to it. So its overall net is zero. It's at equilibrium.
Okay, but
that's why an arch is one of those stable forms of engineering because it's right. At equilibrium.
Yeah, but
I went ahead and set Kyle something.
It's not the weight or the mass or whatever that's keeping it there. It's gravity, correct? That's holding that arch to the Earth, right?
No, it's the net. Well, yes, it's holding it to the Earth, but it's being held up by the internal forces of the architecture itself.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's counterforce to it.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you were to break the forces with inside the arch, let's say you were to pulverize the arch, it would fall to the Earth.
Okay, but
Kyle, can you please show the crayon thing that I drew? Please do not laugh at my shitty art skills.
I'm loading it up right now.
They are shitty. I know they are shitty, but I will explain in detail the shit that you all are about to see. Just so you guys know, it's shit. I know. I suck at drawing. This was done in MS Paint. I don't need a shitload of emails.
I got.
Okay. Let's go.
Great. That's wonderful.
Well, at least you made him smile.
Thank you. Yeah. So on the left, in red, that is your rope. Okay. In black, that is the table that the arches are sitting on. Follow me so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Now, if you were to take that object and swing it around your head, the centrifugal force would keep those arches on that base, correct? Because centrifugal force.
I don't think so, man.
Why would it not? That's what centrifugal force actually is.
Yeah,
centrifugal force is.
We're talking about
force is the. Hang on. See the second diagram. We have the guy. See the string. Mm-hmm. Centrifugal force is the force that is in that plane, pushing it outwards.
Yes.
So it's going to force whatever's in there to go in that direction. That's why it's going to stay on that plane.
Have you ever been to the fair and there's that spaceship that spaceship that spins around really fast and the force kind of pushes you up against the wall and slides you up?
Yep.
I think this actually will explain. I get what this is trying to explain, but it's not going to kind of get you to sort of weasel out the fact that there could be a force acting on that inner dot that could overwhelm it. So this doesn't answer
like
that.
What? Oh.
Like what?
No, okay. There's two forces at play.
Yes.
And they're 180 degrees. Well, okay, other than gravity, obviously. But you have two forces that are counter to each other, 180 degrees opposite. You have a centrifugal force that's causing it to go to the outward vector, okay? So if you look at that plane from the rope, what's causing it to go in the direction of the rope outwards is the centrifugal force. But the 180 degree backwards of that force is called centripetal. But centrifugal force is not a real force. Centripetal force is. That's why centrifugal is called a pseudo force. Because it's not really actually a force. It's just, it acts like a force. It looks like a force. It's not really a force, though.
Yeah, basically, does that make sense? If you were to do this experiment yourself, if you had those two arches on this table that is supported by the rope, as you see on the left side of the picture, and you swing it around and around and around so that the centrifugal force pins those arches to the table, the bigger arch isn't then going to arbitrarily crush the smaller arch, even if the top arch is made of concrete and the bottom is made out of Rice Krispie treats.
Now I understand what the fuck you guys are talking about. Thank you for this diagram, Rudes. This is actually really good.
The gravitron. That's what it is, the gravitron.
This actually made sense to me when I'm like, holy shit, I understand what the fuck they're talking about now. No, the bigger arch will not crush the little arch. There's no extra force on that than there is on the little arch. It still has the same exact centripetal force pushing it outwards with respect to the strain.
Just to summarize, maybe it's crystallized in your head, but we're still figuring it out. But the qualm we have, which I think that you guys get, is that there are two forces acting in the same place in three-dimensional space, and they're supposed to be of the same nature, gravitational. And so one would think that they would interact, you know, just like...
Well, what's the two forces? Mind of God, let me ask you, what are the two forces that, just so I can follow you correctly?
No, that's fine. It's the two forces that are responsible for keeping the arch in place and then responsible for keeping, let's say, the bunny against the earth. Whatever the inner thing.
Okay, I got you.
So those two forces are acting in the same place in three-dimensional space. They are of the same nature. And one is significantly stronger than the other, has more responsibility to keep the heavier thing against the earth. And then, so now my question is, and this is where I used orthogonality, is that from a math perspective, if one were to characterize their interaction or lack of interaction, one would use the term independent. That's what George is using in his response to me. I prefer orthogonal, but it doesn't matter. How are they, what is the thing that is allowing them in math to remain independent? That is the, in my opinion.
I can explain that. You got to combine the two equations of F equals MA and F equals G, big G, M1, M2 divided by R. If R squared, I'm sorry. When you combine those two equations together, what you do is you get a cancellation of the big body of mass that ends up coming out in the acceleration, so that all bodies of mass that are accelerating towards that body are all experiencing the same acceleration. So you're not really losing the mass of the Earth, it's just being worked into the acceleration, so that all you have to worry about is the mass of the smaller object that's actually accelerating towards the Earth.
Yeah, the force of centrifugal, isn't the force of the centrifugal force related to the mass times... The vector of the velocity squared divided by the radius?
Yes. Well, and And I am actually quite surprised at one thing that seems to have gotten ignored in all of this from someone with multiple degrees in engineering. Where are you accounting for the normal force?
Which normal force? That's what I thought we were doing. This is the thing that's getting it to the center of
no,
the earth.
No. The normal force is what in engineering analysis?
Perpendicular to, like, the plane, for example.
Perpendicular to the plane of interaction. There is your resistance from the little body to the bigger body when it comes to this interaction you're trying to say should be stronger than it is.
No, I'm just saying, you understand that the force that is holding the arch in place is going through the item somehow, magically. Like,
No, it's not. The force, okay. Here's how you have to define force. Force is defined as F equals MA, okay? That's all it is. It's a characteristic. It's an expression.
No. Force was G, M1, M2. How many different forces do we got?
No.
Everyone is the force, but they're all different equations.
Force is mass acceleration. They all end up with the same designation as kilograms times mass, or what is it?
Let me make sure that this is data, just to make sure that we have no confusion here. Okay, mass times acceleration equals big G M1 M2 over R to the second.
Okay,
just so that we're clear.
Yeah, I get that. It goes in two ways. One force
can have multiple different equations for it.
I'm still learning the language, so I thank you for that. Yeah. That's fine. No.
I am not allowing you to pull that card if you, in fact, have the degrees that you listed at the beginning of your last debate, because this is basic bachelor's level engineering.
What is? Dude, this is a force that I don't believe exists. So, like, why would I have knowledge of any...
Hang on, skeptic.
Because they are the foundations of the degrees that you use as an authoritative positioning of yourself and your argument.
I haven't had to use gravitational fields or gravity or curvature of the Earth. And I've worked in seismic processing. So, I mean, you could go and ask other people who've done seismic processing and... Ask them, when did you account for the curvature of the Earth? And I would love to hear the answer for that. So I'd be all ears. I'd come back on and discuss it. So I worked for Schlumberger, Western GECO for 3 years doing data processing. And then after I got into Flat Earth, I started reaching out to people. Hey, like, you know, when did this happen? And then they would obviously say it was happening in the field before we got the data. So, I mean, I wasn't in the field, so I had to take their word for it. But in my life, I've never had to account for curvature or...
Okay. Let me ask you a couple of questions then, okay? Because in your last example, in your thought experiment, that was a pretty complicated thought experiment. You were asking about different, like, three-body gravitational effects on each other, and two of the bodies are very, very, very tiny to the third one, and how they influence each other, which is... Oh, okay, well, I was talking about the arch, the Earth, and the bunny. So let's make it a little bit more simpler, and I'm going to give you a little thought experiment. And if you can figure out some way of explaining this without gravity, I would love to hear it, okay? So let's say you're in a box, all right? This box is completely separate to the atmosphere. I'm just going to talk about reality. This thought experiment has nothing to do with the shape of the planet and just the force of gravity. So what we're going to do is we're going to assume that we're at an extremely high altitude, and we're in this box, and you have one of the density columns, okay? So that you have three different liquids, heaviest on bottom, then you have middle and lightest on top, okay? Now, once you drop into full-blown acceleration, once you go into free fall, 9.8 meters per second squared, okay, you lose the vector that's needed for buoyancy. Do you understand that?
Dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. Just make your point.
Okay.
And then.
So when you're in free fall, the densities of the waters will not align to anything. And this is because you have two forces acting on the water that's inside of the density column. You have one, which is the gravitational acceleration towards the Earth. That's F equals ma. Then you have another one, which is F equals ma, but it's rewritten the other way. It's ma equals F. So once you get the gravity column begins accelerating down, you get a force in the opposite and equal direction that is 9.8 meters per second up. So these two vector forces combine with each other. They're in exact opposite directions and at exact same forces, at exact same intensity, magnitude. Okay. So one has 9.8 going up meters per second. One has 9.8 going down. It net is zero. Therefore, there is nothing to align the column of density. Without the force of gravity going down, the moment you go into free fall, the vector force goes up, and everything will align up. Do you understand
that? I don't see a problem with
that at all. Great. So back to my example. So we have...
No. Please don't brush it off. Please, I truly treated your thought experiment. I gave you a true intellectual honesty here when I listened to you and I asked you the questions. Now, please listen to mine and try to explain that in your best engineering education quality level you can, okay? Just try.
No, because it's ridiculous, man. That's not.
Oh,
that's,
my that's, God.
Well, that's the way it is, though. I mean, you have to be able to explain that because that's
observational
is
reality that I'm. So you're just going to blow it off like because you don't have the answer. You just. I mean, if you say, look, the intellectual, honest answer here is I have no clue how to answer that question.
I don't think
that
I
will
know.
Accept that.
You want me to fly, spin things over my head? You want me to. Send things through.
No. He was explaining your thought experiment. I'm just giving you a new one. This is totally different. Please treat these as separate instances.
Yeah, and mine is a static situation where a free body diagram can be made, which what I thought I knew what the equations were that govern them, but it looks like they're changing. But
they
I
don't
thought
change.
They were
they everything they're everything we just told you.
I learned these
everything we just told you.
That was 25 years ago. They haven't changed.
Hang on. First of all, when you say that your example is in a static situation, we can treat it as if it's in a frame of acceleration, being that you're in a gravity acceleration field. All right. So for our thing, you know, when we're trying to explain this to you on, hey, why doesn't the bigger arch crush the smaller one that's below it? For exact the same reason that wouldn't happen in a car that's being accelerated or in that string and table example that I drew up for you for the same exact reason. The gravitational acceleration field that's currently acting upon you right now is the same exact force you would feel if you were just floating in space sitting in a chair but being just accelerated upward at 9.8 meters per second squared. You literally would not be able to tell the difference if you were in a box, period.
That's true.
That's fine. Do you agree that those two forces are acting in the same place? And maybe this is the part that we don't agree
yes.
that. They're, are they? Okay. And they're the same
forces
nature.
Are just they're, characteristics. Forces are characteristics of objects. Okay. That's all your – it's a characteristic of mass. Okay. If you want to know what the characteristic of mass is, you say mass equals force divided by acceleration. All right, so you can take the acceleration, you can take the force it's exerting, you can divide it by the acceleration that it's in, and you can come up with its mass. Force is just a characteristic of an object.
I would disagree a little bit on that. Force is actually something that changes the vector of something. Force is something that changes. That's the way I
You're right, you're right.
I know what you're saying, but I think there might be some pushback on that. Because that's it defined me.
Wording aside, skeptic is correct on it because it goes like this. If gravity is defined as a gravitational accelerating field, then us giving you examples of acceleration is actually quite valid. So for you to dismiss them like that is quite strange to me.
I'm not dismissing them. I just want the concise explanation, and I'm trying to get this.
You're not the first one. You're not the first flat earther that just refused to answer that question because that question is an absolute observational reality fact, okay? It's fact. We have video of it in the vomit comet right now where they take liquids and the moment that the plane begins to accelerate down and it's in free fall, there is no organization to the liquids. You have to give me a reason for that to happen. I can give you one. two different accelerations in the equal and opposite direction. One is generated by the mass of the Earth pulling on you. The other is generated by you reacting to being pulled on by the mass of the Earth. Those two forces, okay, when acting on the liquid...
Let's apply that in this situation. Do we agree that we have two forces acting in the same place in three-dimensional space? We agree with that, correct?
Yes.
It's a real, yes, right? Or is it fake? That's kind of what I'm getting at.
No. In the same three-dimensional space, yes, but not in the same point. In the same point, you only have one force acting, and it's called the net force. That's it.
Yeah.
You can't have...
Hang on. I think he's confusing vector with tensor. Maybe that may be the problem. Because somebody had noted a vector is a special case tensor. When you have a tensor field has vectors from a single point. So at that point, there might be a whole bunch of vectors coming from it. But you seem to have this notion that somehow you're dealing with just a single vector going up, a single vector going down. No, each point has vectors all over the place for it. There's multiple forces that are actually on that particular thing. That's why it's called a tensor field, right? Gravity is a tensor field. It's not a vector field. It's a tensor field.
Okay,
And I think that maybe you might want to look into that, because I think that's where your misconception is. You're thinking of these things as vectors, which are a type of tensor, but you really should be thinking of things as a tensor field.
Okay, that's fine. Let's not even go to the field thing for now. Let's not go
with what destroys your thought experiment. Let's just go on to some other bullshit. Great, let's do it.
No, let's zoom in on it. Let's look at two forces that are in the same place in this tensor field. That's fine. And they're in the same place. We, as flat earthers, I suspect many of us, have trouble with the fact that those two forces are existing in the same place and of the same type, but not affecting each other. You guys at least...
Same exact reason that I gave previously. If you had that table spinning around you, the bigger arch would not crush the smaller arch for the same exact reason.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yes, here. I'll let him do that. That's his example. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. So I gave it to you in two different ways. If you are in a car, let's say you're sitting in the back seat, and you have some fat ass that's sitting in front of you in the front seat because he can't fit in the back seat, and I accelerate my Nissan GTR to 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. Okay. Let's say I'm able to do that. Would you or would you not feel the exact same force that the fat ass that is sitting in front of you is feeling? Would you not feel the exact same force? Yes or no? Just a simple yes or no.
Can you say it once more? Sorry, I'm not trying to be difficult. Can you repeat that?
Okay. You're in my Nissan GTR, okay? Mm-hmm. You're sitting in the back seat of the GTR behind a fat ass that is sitting in the passenger seat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I stomp on the throttle and accelerate really, really fast. The amount of force that is being applied to you is the same amount of force that is being applied to the fat ass that is sitting in front of you. Correct, or not?
I agree. We do not influence that force. Yes, true.
Okay, so the thing is that the force that the fat ass is feeling is not then being multiplied because the fat ass is sitting in front of you. The fat ass isn't crushing you in that gravitational field. Gravity works the exact same way. If the fat ass was arching over you, just because the fat ass is there in that field of acceleration, that doesn't mean that you are then going to arbitrarily be crushed underneath the weight of that fat ass, because there is nothing there. You're in the same gravitational accelerating field. All right, so the only force that is being applied to you is the force of acceleration. That is it.
Okay, I mean, if that's the explanation, that's what it is. That's fine. I mean, I obviously don't agree, but that's okay.
Look, I can give you, you said just a moment ago, that flat earthers have a hard time understanding how two forces can both act on one object in the same three-dimensional space-time, correct?
How two forces acting on two different objects can occupy the same space in three-dimensional space, be the same type, not interfere with each other. That is my qualm, yeah.
Well, I thought you just a minute ago, you said, well, the thing is that they're not actually in the same space. They're physically apart from each other.
No,
they have separate space.
Yeah.
Unless they are physically inside of each other, they have their own separate space.
How?
Look, do you know, I'm interested if I can...
Because you're not putting the fucking bunny in the footing of the arch.
Mind of God, when you're talking about all these forces, there's a summation of them all at every given point. There's a overall normative force.
Yes.
At every given point, there's the whatever forces are on it, there's going to be a summation of forces at that point, okay? So the forces interact with each other. So if I have two things that have mass, each one has a gravitational field. Those gravitational fields are going to be such that there's going to be a point between them where it's going to be stronger. It's going to be weaker. Just like the Earth and Sun, you have Lagrange points, right? Lagrange point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are null areas, basically, of gravity where you're going to have a stable orbit where it's going to stay there, right? It's not going to go any more to the Sun, any more to the Moon, because that is the point where at that particular point, you have a summation of zero of all the net forces around it.
Yes.
The object's not going anywhere. This is why you have satellites at Lagrange points, because they don't go anywhere. There's no net force causing it to move any more toward the Earth than it is to the Sun. It's causing it to stay there. So when you're looking at a point, certain things do not move because there's no overall net vector or force changing their vector. So when you're saying that these forces are not occupying or they shouldn't occupy the same space at the same thing, why not? It's just they're just forces that are they're having an interaction with each other, and then they have a net at each point. That's it. I don't really know how much easier to explain it.
They are occupying the same space. I have no issue with that. My concern and what I think.
But you just said the arch was above the bunny. So how are they occupying the same space?
Dude, there's a force apparently pulling this thing. Like, and we can't see it according to your theory. That's yanking this thing towards the center of the Earth, man. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm. This is not like something.
No. Okay, so they're occupying the same local area of space time, not the same point in space. So they're within proximity of each other, but they're not in the same point of space. Do you understand that?
Yes. The one above it. Shooting through the one beneath it, correct?
It's inside of a field, and it's reacting to the field. And it manipulates the field by being inside of it. I mean,
that's the part that you would lose me. That's the voodoo. If that's the answer, then I got nothing else.
Yes, because you're ignoring the normal force, not to mention a buttload of other interactions that are going on, simply because you want to overly simplify it to fit your ass hat backwards mind fuck of a degenerate cult that you've decided to buy into.
Well, I don't want to get personal, but he has a kind of a point. Do you not think that everything you do is only because you want it to fit your narrative? Obviously, these guys know their shit. Okay, I mean, they know way more about their shit than I do. Trust me. They know their shit. I know enough to know that they're right, and that's about it. I can't.
Why are you describing it as shit?
Saying is shit, obviously. But don't you think though that for a second, all these people that have educations, all these people that know these topics, all of them that write the papers, write the books, you're not smarter than them, dude. You're just
not.
Do you not think that the limit?
I get it. I'm not smart.
Do you not think that the epistemic limit and problems in conceptualization of these things are on your end, and that you want it to be flat, but the problem is that reality doesn't care about what you want. Reality doesn't fit your narrative. You're so dead set in your ideological belief system that the Earth has to be flat, that you will not take anything that these people have said to heart. I mean, exactly what he was talking about, the buoyancy, is a great thing to explain what's going on here, and you just pissed it off like nothing, by fiat. Okay, well, whatever. There are reasons why the Earth is not flat. There are actual tangible reasons anybody can go look at if they learn this information properly. And I'm just wondering, do you not admit that you're just an ideologue at this point? You don't care whether somebody presents you evidence or not. It's going to be flat in your mind regardless. I mean, be honest.
Just to clarify, I did not give you anything that you had to take my word on. I gave you an actual experiment that you could do yourself that demonstrates that I am right. I don't just tell people I'm right. Mm-hmm. I demonstrate that I'm right. And I give them an experiment where they can demonstrate that I am right. So I challenge you. Go ahead and have someone accelerate you in a car with you sitting in the back seat with a fat ass in front of you. I know a few fat asses that will be more than happy to step in. I can also give you a great link on IKEA where you get some cheap plywood and some string with two arches, one made of brick and the other made of Rice Krispie treats, where one is not going to crush the other while being in that gravitational field. It's the same exact shit that's going on with arches in gravity in your example. One does not crush the other in the first example. One does not crush the other in the second example, both of which you can test yourself. And by that alone, you should know that one is not going to crush the other in the third example, which is the arches being on the ground of our beautiful round Earth.
And not to mention, the experiment I recommended you do, you can go to your local amusement park that has one of those little things where you sit in the car and it drops you down. Literally, you can get a jar, fill it up with different densities, sit at the top and watch it set with all the heavier densities on bottom, all the lighter densities on top. And the moment you drop, there will be no organization to that, to the densities until you begin to decelerate. And you can do this for yourself. I'm not making this up. This isn't just a thought experiment. It's just because I know you're not free-falling right now. That's the only reason this is a thought experiment. This is actually something that we've done to prove that there is a vector of gravitational acceleration.
Listen to your experiment. Let's change it up. If you're swinging that thing around your head and you have the two arches, right? And let's say you actually don't start it from the ground. Let's start it from there and you whip it around like that. If all of a sudden you stop at any point, you're no longer giving it any centripetal force to it, Reds, what would happen to those arches if there's no more force going outwards from the rope? What would happen to those arches?
Oh, are you talking about gravity? Just underneath the force of gravity? Well, it would.
Yeah, if you just have those arches, what's going to happen to them?
Yeah, they're going to fall down.
They're going to fall down, right? Because there's no others. They're going to fall down. The reason an arch is stable like this, right? Because you have a net sum of forces. That the force coming down here is distributed downward.
Down the legs.
Down the legs, right? Yeah. So you have it coming down like this. You have it distributed equally through the arches, and then it has it on the legs there. So that is why it's a very stable structure. Now, if you are spinning it around, and all of a sudden you stop spinning it, negating the fact that you've stopped something really quickly in inertia, forgetting that. But if there is no more force, all of a sudden now you have an arch that's this way, right? That no longer has any force keeping it this way. No more centripetal force is actually replacing the downward force of gravity, right? Because normally you have a downward force of gravity that's keeping the arch very stable. But when you're swinging it, now you have centripetal force that's acting as that downward force. But you no longer have that. Downward force is gone. Force of gravity takes over. Arch collapses. That's what we should see in the experiment. I bet you if you did it, that's exactly what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Would you agree?
Spinning and all that stuff, but just for future things, obviously it doesn't matter at this point, but to connect those things to what we're talking about, it may fit in your head, but just be sensitive to the fact that a lot of us are starting from scratch, and we obviously will sound naive.
I'm not going to let you get away with that, mind of God, no offense. I'm not going to feel, because you are trying to change the entire paradigm of science. You are literally saying with such hubris, and I'm not trying to be demeaning to you, but you're saying with such hubris and confidence that the Earth is flat. You're saying that everybody else is wrong, and now you're saying, well, we're just learning these things. Do you understand how arrogant it sounds? I don't know shit from what I'm talking about, but let me tell you guys why you're wrong. I would never go into a discussion like that. If I'm going into like a Bible history thing like with my friends on like mock atheists, I'm not going to sit there and tell them they're wrong on their interpretation of Scripture because I don't speak Hebrew. I don't speak Greek. I don't know fuck from Shinola to even tell them that they're wrong. What kind of arrogance would that be?
Just to be fair, this particular discussion was simply my thought experiment. I didn't talk about flat Earth or anything. I just had questions about gravity to kind of from our last talk, but you know, I don't know if you're reading that from my last time here, but I didn't
no,
come.
No, that's why I said that. That's why I specifically said when I brought mine up, my experiment up, I said it wouldn't matter. Flat Earth, round Earth, wouldn't matter. It's the shape of the Earth has nothing to do with my experiment. My experiment only relies on one thing: the force of gravity.
I do want to know why flat Earthers have such a massive hate boner for gravity.
I have no issues with those thought experiments, even the thing flying over, if there can be a way to connect that to what my initial question was. And
okay.
Again,
I was going to try to explain that to you, because you just said right now you don't see the connection between the two, but there's an actual direct connection here. One, you're having an outward force, which is it's mimicking the gravitational force. The same way Kyle was talking about the ride at the fair that you stick to the wall. Gravitron, that's mimicking the gravitational force. And that's because you have a net force, like Steve was saying, you have a net force of the centrifugal force pushing you out and the gravitational force pushing you down. As long as the centrifugal force is high enough, it'll hold you against the wall using friction. Because if you didn't have friction there, you'd be pushed out, but you'd start sliding down. So you have to have friction there. So there's another force that you're going to have to take into account. When all the forces added up or combined, you get they're not actually at net zero. You actually are feeling an accelerating force that's pushing you back because it's so heavy that it's not coming out to net zero on you. It's actually coming out to plus whatever it is, meters per second squared, pushing directly away from the center of rotation of that ride.
So am I just
saying, and I love that ride, by the way. So
can you not static free body diagram? Does it always require stuff being accelerated? Is that what I can potentially take from this?
Well, the attractive force all forces are accelerating. So always, anytime you want to talk about three body gravitation, you're going to be talking about one accelerating force that all of them are imposing on each other, causing them to move in different directions.
And think about this. This is why it's critical to define force as a change in vector. If you're moving because of something's pulling, but if you have a sphere and something's causing whatever we call it, gravity, for it to fall into the sphere, right? It's changing the vector. It's accelerating it, right? Because it's causing it to fall, right? And gravity is a force in Newtonian physics. It's not a force in relativity, but what's happening? If I'm falling into the gravitational well of a planet, right? I'm experiencing gravity. At each point, I'm changing my vector because I'm changing my direction or magnitude until I reach in free fall. But it's a force being acted upon me, right? I'm changing somehow my vector because of that force, because of the gravitational well. I'm moving towards the Earth. That's all it is. As soon as you think of it that way, I'll go, I get it now, kind of thing.
Steve.
These objects are essentially being put into an existing gravitational field. Is that the way that you guys would explain it?
No.
Hang on. Okay. No, it's not Brett. It's the actual engineer that wants to talk right now. When you are doing a free body diagram of the situation that you are stating, yes, you have to take the gravitational field of Earth into account because that's where you put the objects. Point one. Can't ignore that if you're actually going to do the legitimate free body diagram from the engineering standpoint, which is part of your background that you have stated and used as, hey, listen to me because look at what I've done. Look at what I know. Now I can talk about this stuff. But then you want to ignore the other forces at play that you have to worry about, such as the tensile strength, such as the normal force, such as any other conceivable possible interaction that the two objects you are talking about may experience. Just because don't like them and want to ignore them doesn't mean you're allowed to.
I'm not ignoring them. I came on here to define them.
Really? Really? You're not ignoring the normal force. When I explained it to you, you completely hand-waved it and tried to go back to the simplify it. You tried to effing ignore it.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say is this. I'm actually done trying to explain the eighth grade level science to do with gravity, so I just have something that's really irrelevant but still very important, at least to me personally. So, Mind of God, have you changed your opinion on SpaceX yet?
Did I express an opinion on SpaceX? Is that the,
yeah? You said that what they were doing was bullshit.
The car in space is ridiculous, man. But keep going.
Okay, so my question is, why has what are they doing that's so against the grain that kind of makes you pause?
The car in space? Do I have to say anything?
What about it? What about that is actually impossible?
I mean, it's not impossible. It just sounds ridiculous.
It's ridiculously awesome. I'm surprised no other private company who has billions of dollars to throw around didn't think of it first. My question still remains, though, is why is it so ridiculous that you don't believe it, even though you just accept that it is possible?
I mean, that's not my strongest point that I would use to refute Fall Earth. So I wouldn't.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just wondering why you choose to disbelieve in something that's totally possible and has actually been done.
It's a lot of it is the stuff surrounding it, which is what we talked about in the hangout after, is just the whole kind of vibe around something like that just doesn't feel right, to be honest. Like, it's just not the way people would react if they did accomplish something like that. That's the best I could express my concern.
And you're an expert on how people would react.
Do you think they're underreacting or overreacting?
My perspective, like, that's all I can give you. I mean, that's what it is.
What would be your expectation of how they should react? I don't see how the reaction has anything to do with the science.
More like Reds does. That's what I was telling him in the hangout. He's more excited than
bitching.
A lot of people.
Reds. Flat Earth Victoria.
I thought
Victoria,
it was urgent, but it was
Flat Earth Victoria Canada says, "Come on, Reds! come on, Reds! A car in space that goes around like a carousel." LOL.
So Flat Earth Victoria, Vicky, as we like to call him. So Kyle, please refer to Flat Earth Victoria as Vicky from now on. Vicky, we're going to need an email from you so that we can get you the link to this hangout so that we can put your views up for scrutiny. As I was saying, in that exact same hangout, which is still live on my channel and anyone can go watch it, I showed you a video of just how the entire SpaceX team was reacting. Let me go ahead and just give you guys a brief synopsis. They were losing their fucking minds. So they're not acting the way I was reacting. They were reacting much more excited than I was, even though yes, I was genuinely losing my shit after seeing a Falcon 9 land right in front of me. But after they accomplished that goal first, oh my god! It was registered as a fucking earthquake because of how much cheering there was.
Play the press conference with those three guys back in the day: Armstrong, Aldrin, and whatever that other. That was funny, man. Like, they looked like lost.
They look like they've been in space. They look like they've been in space for about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that.
I am going to put you in a tin can with a very real possibility of dying and basically making you shit in a bag for a few days, and you tell me if you come out of that excited.
How many days after when they...
Oh, yeah, and by the way, after you land, I'm then going to quarantine your ass for an additional 2 weeks.
Dude, if I came from space, I would be stopping everybody on the street, telling them what
you
I saw.
You want to know what you would do. You don't know what hell those people went through. I mean,
put them in front of people if they're still not feeling well. Like, that's
people. People taking a shit in a bag in a tin can with a very real possibility of dying kind of takes a mental strain on somebody, believe me. So yes, space is cool. Space is, epic. Look at me, I'm floating, Mom. That's all well and good. But after being in a tin can with a real possibility of dying and having to shit in a vacuum cleaner for a few days to a few weeks, I would kind of be fucking over it after a while. I would be like, get me the fuck out of here. As soon as I'm done plunging through Earth's atmosphere, there better be a fucking pizza waiting for me, otherwise I am going to be pissed.
Yeah, because you gotta imagine, like, from they had just recently had lost an astronaut on the landing pad. Once that door shuts, it's life or death. Every moment from that point forward is life or death. So for them to get back and say, oh my God, think we made it. Hey, America, come see us. We made it. No, they're going to need some time to process that. And that's just normal human reaction.
The astrology, I'll give you guys. Maybe they're tired or drained, but looking at each other, asking what they saw, what they didn't see. I mean, that you have to admit is out.
I gotta tell you honestly, they could be high fiving each other. They could come out there buck ass fucking naked, going, yeah. I couldn't give a shit what the fuck they did. That doesn't change the fact that they went. It doesn't change any of the science. It seems like you just want to negate everything people are telling you. Go, they didn't do what I expected them to do, when you had no idea what the hell it had been like to strap on a Saturn V5 rocket. I don't know what the fuck rockets they use.
Whatever.
Rockets they use. Saturn V5. What was the actual rocket itself?
I mean, also, Steve, just to be clear about this, two people can remember the same exact things in completely different ways. For example, the first time Kyle had sex, it was like, oh yeah, it was amazing, it was great, it was epic, and
that's not true,
and I'm
going to
remember this from the rest of my life. But then his partner was like,
remember, the first time he had sex was with the woman.
It wasn't that great. He was clumsy. He tripped on me.
That is accurate.
He stubbed his toe.
That is accurate.
Rez, you don't seem to realize Kyle's gay. When he first time he had sex, he's like, this is not how it's supposed to work. What the hell am I doing here?
So basically, Kyle was having fun and enjoying himself, and he remembers it as gold in diamond in the rough type of shit. I'm talking, this was like Aladdin fairy tale shit, while the other guy was looking at this as the Saw series.
New world. Just imagine.
It was the first person with a woman or a man. That was a woman.
What, my first time having sex? Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why I would be like, you're like, no, that's, what?
Yeah, dude, it's actually the opposite. It was actually the opposite.
Oh, you liked it?
No.
See? I told you.
Why are we talking about my sex life? But anyway, this is about the shape of the earth.
Okay, fine.
Let me rephrase. I'll do a completely different example, okay? The first time Jared had sex, he remembers it as amazing. He was the biggest fucking porn star you can. I mean, his schlong was as wide as it was long, and it was a bust. But his partner, on the other hand, was like, hang on.
I was compared to a Greek god.
Yeah, but his partner was like, actually, it was more like I needed tweezers and a microscope to see it. It wasn't really that special. They remember the same event in two totally different ways.
Let me say this. If we're going to compare it to my sex life or whatever, a lot of these definitions and some of the things that have been talked about tonight were a lot more painful than the first time I ever did anal.
I can give you another example. I have plenty of these.
So the takeaway from tonight is flat Earth more painful than anal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm glad we learned something here today.
I think this is something we can all agree upon.
We have learned something today.
Fantastic. All right.
Surprise! Let's... Thank you, mighty God. We learned something from you. We appreciate it.
Let's get these super chats out of the way.
Okay.
Please. Can you go home now?
Oh, that was funny.
Are you wearing one of those things when people tip you, it vibrates?
That's after this show.
That's the after show.
Yeah, that's chatterbait.
I'll be sure to get my bitcoins ready for you, Kyle.
You don't have to pay.
Let me ask you, mind of God, are you willing to come on my channel after this and talk about SpaceX? Because I have some shit I want to show you.
By the way, he's saying SpaceX, not SpaceX.
I was about to ask that.
Because I thought he said SpaceX.
No. It is SpaceX, because watching SpaceX do its shit is sex.
Okay.
More famous. We have the best live chat. I've ever said that. We have the best live chat.
We do.
They're so funny. Okay. I've read that one. Okay. Henry Leroy says, what about the rest of the universe? Are all planets flat? Are all planets flat? Mind of God?
The stars?
Yeah,
no,
or
like
other
Jupiter,
planets.
Saturn, Mars.
I don't know. I mean, I just... kind of bite off the little bit that I can chew. I'm not the expert in that, so
okay.
Shocking.
0132132. anti-Flat Earth is a military conspiracy. Steve, Team Skeptic, and Jared on one panel. Proofed. That's true. Fifth That's Element, right. Where is our favorite whipping dog, Jism, the Art Bell late-night talk show host wannabe? Please ask the Morgyle to debate. It would be hilarious.
Oh, I would love to rip that dude a new asshole.
Isn't he kind of indisposed, he's in so jail. To speak?
He's in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in jail?
Tim has some.
Yeah.
Tim Osmond has some great commentary on that. I listened to something he said the other day, and that shit had me rolling.
Yeah,
no
he's in jail.
Shit. He's in jail. Go fucking figure.
Drugs.
Okay. Drugs, yeah.
Yep.
Obviously.
Vegan Atheist Coral. Hello again. Thumbs up if you like dumpsters. Vegan Atheist Coral again. No puppies will be harmed in the making of this video. Virtual Head Bop for Red. So we read that one. The Canadian Atheist. Thank you for the super chat. Hey guys, I hope you'll be able to come on to chat soon. Cheers. We hope you all will be as well. Jan Vitulani, you guys got at least one fan from Poland. There, you want to say that again, Reds? Your Polish thing?
So it was Jak się masz and dziękuję.
Excellent. Jim. Hey, Jim. I'm not going to say that. Mind of God, can any flat earth model predict sunrises and sunsets as accurately as the globe model?
I mean, I think we're past that in
just,
this debate.
Just say no.
I
would refer him to the massive amounts of flat earth material that's out there. So
I would refer you to the Eagle Boxes and the
answer is no.
Southern
If you want flat earth material, just please visit your nearest septic tank and open and just take a whiff.
Yeah, just go download Stellarium. Stellarium will give you accurate data where you can say, I want to know what day at what point is having an eclipse. And you'll go, oh, I can go there. Oh, eclipse. That is because the Earth is round. Stellarium has to have a round Earth model to work. It will not work.
I like my idea better.
At all.
David Cooley says, Eric Dubay, terminated channel, idiot.
Yeah, he got terminated.
Mega Zwielhander. An explanation for him. Visualize the force of gravity as chains pulling the arches down. Two gravity chains melt together and pull the weak one harder than if it were not under the strong arch.
I think that's making sense of the gravity always being 9.8 towards the Earth and not like the small chain is the arch pulling on the Earth, the big chain is the Earth pulling on the arch.
There was another one that said...
The arch would not work without the capstone.
He is thinking of the arches as one body, but gravity acts on every atom the same on both arches equally.
No, that's not the hang-up, but that's fine that they can think that.
Because that's demonstrable.
Well, Steve hit it best when he said that you have the force of gravity pulling down, you have all the different forces enacting on each other on the inside, and what that comes to be is an equal net force of zero. It's not going to it's still experiencing the acceleration force, but it's not accelerating because all the other forces are combining and keeping it in one place.
But it's shooting through the smaller item underneath somehow.
But because you're thinking of it, you're thinking of the force as a physical object, and the force is not a physical object.
Yeah, I finally see what he's trying to say. He literally thinks that a force has to like penetrate an object to get to another object, like it's a bullet or something, right?
When I was explaining the force, I was explaining it wrong, and you corrected me, Steve. But what I was trying to make sense of was saying that forces can exist in the same space-time when objects cannot. You know, the forces are all going to act on the object, absolutely. But it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that Red's put that out with the big fat guy on the bus thing, having the one arch in front of the other has no effect on the centrifugal force. It doesn't give a fuck.
No, because here's the thing. In a free body diagram like that, in order for the larger arch to directly affect the smaller object below it, no matter what it is, you need a direct linkage. You need a physical connection for all those forces to actually add up in a collinear fashion.
But I thought mass attracts mass. You You know, it's just an intrinsic property.
That's phenomenal.
Hang on. Yeah, that's where the normal force comes in, and that's where the tensor field comes in. Thank you.
All right, we're almost done.
Thank God you said that, because this has been bugging me the entire time, because I don't think he understood the difference between tensor and vector.
The Mexican's Wrath says, this guy has just exposed himself as a freaking Poe. Jan Vetulani says, the blue shirt flat earther has an engineering degree. Damn, mine's a 5-year philosophy course, and I'm getting this no problem. Jason Snyder says, the force of gravity on the arch is being distributed down the legs of the arch and not on the bunny. Mm-hmm. Kiwi H says, did you know there's a disco ball in space? I did. Absolutely. Yes. Everybody knows that.
We're gonna thank Rocket Lab for that one. Thank you, Rocket Lab, for having us.
Yeah, I know. They got a lot of shit for it, by the way, because it light.
Oh yeah, I know, because astronomers really hated that.
Oh, they hated that. Now, I don't think it's ever visible.
Ray Keller says, for the flat earther, please ask him my H2O density question. What was that? You didn't put the question in the super chat. So if you're still watching, tag me in and I'll ask it. NZ Pure says,
why don't I get the equilateral triangle question, man? That's like a underhanded pitch, you know, like that sucks, but
you want an answer? Okay. What's the angles of,
here we go. I've got it.
I've got it.
Since H2O molecules are the same density, why do they squeeze together towards the bottom of the container, creating a higher pressure if there is no gravity?
In other words, why is the fluid denser at the bottom than at the top?
I mean, tell them to post a video and explain what.
No, this is a simple fluid thing, dude. If you have a container, there's going to be higher pressure near the bottom of the container, and it's going to be more dense than at the top. That's just basic fluid mechanics for any.
Wait on top of it. That's a ridiculous question.
Why does air get thinner? Why does the air get thinner as you gain altitude?
It gets more rarefied the higher you go up. Just for the same reason, it's a fluid.
Which violates the ideal gas law, by the way. If it's not
ideal gas law,
pressure. Anyway.
Ideal gas law is a perfect. There's no such thing as a real ideal gas law. It's an idealized thing.
Right. It points the direction of entropy, right?
Yeah,
towards a state of equilibrium.
All right.
It's a highly accurate approximation, but it is still an approximation.
We got three more.
Three more.
NZ Pure says, no, Kyle, we need to get into this, rolling on the floor laughing. No, we don't. I'm assuming that's to my sex life.
Yes, it is.
NZ Pure says, Kyle's first route with a woman, best chat ever. I'm glad you think so. Tallyson.
Bring her on the show.
Uberlander says.
Wait, Kyle, do you know what a route is?
Yeah, I know what a route is. I know what he means.
Okay.
I know what he means.
What's the root? I'm curious. What is it then?
First root? As like fling? Shag?
No. Well, it means something very specific. It actually is Australian for blowjob.
Oh, yeah. Actually, no. Yeah. That's not true.
That's what it is.
No, I'm saying my first root was not with a woman.
Okay.
Taliesin Oberlander says, let's get off my sex life. Oberlander says, what's Mind of God's take on dragons in Morocco?
Is he still there?
He left.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay.
Frozen.
I wanted to hear his answer on that one.
And Beavs says, ask him why bridges don't collapse. Droppity. Theory of dropping.
I'm going to go ahead and just invite him onto my show. The after show has already been made.
Oh, there you go.
So we're just, as soon as this does not go, well, as soon as this goes not live, mine will go live. So there you go.
Say what you got to say, Reds, and then get the fuck out.
I like your style. So, Mind of God, message me, maybe. Let's do this. Let's talk about SpaceX and how what they're doing doesn't make sense. We can talk about how people react to awesome shit happening. Okay, bye.
By the way, Steve, the live chat is correcting you. That is not what root means. Root means what I said.
I still think they're wrong. Now I could be wrong, but the reason it's root because they go, a woman goes down to the root when she goes here.
Nope. BJ. Brad Craven says, Steve, I'm an Australian, and root does not mean what you think it does.
Okay, well, I'm gonna let the Aussies correct me then, but.
I just texted a chick and asked if I could get some root tonight. She ain't gonna know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Hold on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna read what Smitty said, Steve. Can you say on air that you were wrong and Kyle was right, please?
Yes. If that's the case, I was wrong and Kyle was right.
Oh, somebody please isolate that. I'm just kidding. Thank you, King.
I learned when I was in Australia, they called it something else. So maybe they told me wrong then.
Oh yeah, it's creative though. Your version is creative. Get to the root.
Yeah, that's what they told me. I was in Australia. That's what they told me. So I guess they just all these years I had this information. See, that happens. It happens.
Jared, how about you say what you need to, and then kick over to Red's after show.
Well, unfortunately, I won't be on the after show because I have to go fix another fucktard's mistake down at work, which is that call that we got right at the beginning of the show. So, unfortunately, I won't be on Red's panel, but I will be listening in. If I fix this motherfucker quick enough, then I will be on. Later.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm...
Oh, mind of God, you're still here.
All day long.
We hope you sorry, left.
He's got the blue screen of death, man. I'm back.
What's okay, up? We thought you left. Reds is sending you the link to his after show, so say what you need to say, and then we'll see you over there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the feedback. George sent a long message, and even though we disagree, and I'll keep saying this, I know that this is a very important topic, and it's contentious and all that, but I do appreciate the time, you know, and all that, so... yeah, I'll see you on the other side.
Cool.
Yeah, right. Just remember, fuck Australians. They don't exist anyways because they get paid to tell people that they're on the side of the planet. They're actually just people in Europe that are making money off the scam.
Oh,
so
shots
fuck you
fired.
Australians.
I don't believe that, Australians. Okay. I love you all. I think you're all amazing people, and you've been nothing but fantastic to me. So Steve may hate you, but I love you.
You're just the one death shit over here. Everything in Australia will fucking kill you. That's why.
I love you guys.
Yeah, I was wrong, by the way. I was wrong. It is. I guess a root is relating to sex, not a blowjob. Kyle was absolutely right. The Australians in the live chat are absolutely right. Wow. I will self-flagellate myself as soon as this thing ends and punish myself appropriately in capricious amounts of alcohol and desperation and cures, okay?
There you go. Perfect. Team Skeptic.
Yeah.
Copious. I'm sorry, that's capricious. Copious. See, I'm so shocked by this. I was wrong on something. I can't get over this.
I have just a small thing to address. I was recently hit with a copyright strike. I am going to be fighting it in court. It was done by an emotionally driven flat earther that didn't like being called an idiot. Unfortunately for him, I'm protected by fair use, and I can call him whatever the fuck I want to call him. So that's his problem to deal with. But now I am going to be fighting it in court. If you guys want to follow that, the progress of that case, I want to set a precedent, man. I want to end this shit now so that way, you know, because to be honest, look, people, I've already gone back to the video to reply to comments and whatnot, and they see that it's taken down. They see who took it down, and some of those are going to be flat earthers. So let's say that I do this again to another person. If I don't do anything about this now, then the next guy's going to hit me with a copyright strike. Or Daniel Pratt. The guy that dresses up and he sits in his garage all the time and he has a blue hoodie on and he's kind of a little fat ass.
I don't think I've seen him.
Anyway, I'm hitting him up. He's gonna get it. I'll reach out to you, Kyle and Steve, because I have something that you guys might want to be interested in. I'm actually gonna be redoing my video that he had taken down. So I'm still going to eventually get my video put back up, but in the meantime, I'm going to redo the video, and I'm going to have everybody from the community submit pics of saying the lines that he said in it, because I give some great material out. I give some great mathematics are in there. You know, I have it's all explained out for the community to see. People can learn something from watching my video. So I'm going to be reaching out to the community and have everybody just dress up and make fun of this dude. Say his line as stupidly and as sarcastically as you can, and I'm just going to still roast him and he can eat shit because the whole world is going to know, don't be a fucking prat.
Don't be a prat.
So is that copyright strike like where it's just demonetized or you can't stream or anything like that now?
No. I didn't get a community guideline strike. I got an actual physical copyright strike. Like he submitted a DMCA takedown cease and desist order.
On what grounds?
Falsely. He has no grounds.
Okay. I think so.
He literally – you can fight that, right?
And he has to go to court to actually enforce it, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Not just that, but once I submit the cease and desist order here in Texas, the venue, the jurisdiction's put in my county. So he's going to have to get off of his broke ass and come down here, which he ain't ever getting. That ain't going to happen. He's just mad he did an irrational, dumbass act. I sent him an email and asked him to do the right thing. You know, just take down the thing. I'm not even going to trip about it. I even told him he could come on my show and say he was sorry for doing it, so it gives him a way to look like, hey, I'm admitting to my mistake. I did what was right. My bad. And I would give him total respect for that, and he'd probably gain the respect of a bunch of viewers. But because of the way he's choosing to do it, I have to do it my way, and I'm going to love doing it my way.
Fuck him. Just to let you guys know, before you head over to Reds, Steve and I will be on the Drunken Peasants tomorrow for their 24-hour stream. We'll be in the 7 to midnight block. So
Eastern?
Yes, Eastern. So join us for that. That'll be a lot of fun.
We're going to be dogging on. Well, actually, I'm going to be having a discussion with G-Man, and Kyle and I are going to have a discussion with G-Man, but I'm basically going to shove some of the shit that he's talked about up his ass so far that is basically he would have to have a flashlight and a shovel to go find it. So
mm-hmm. It's going to be good. On the 3rd, Sean G, who is a former Flat Earther, will be with us to discuss why he's not a Flat Earther anymore. And then that following Monday on the 7th, Paula Gia will be here in a debate against S.J. Thomason, Christian apologist. So join us for that. Okay. Right. Steve, say what you got to say and then get the fuck out.
Yeah, I just want to get the fuck out. I'm done. Good night. I love you guys. This was a very impromptu thing. I've been talking all day. I had a four-hour hangout this morning with Nate Brody, and Bert Poole joined us. If you guys don't remember Bert Poole, Bert Poole was a wonderful asset to the community, very brilliant person. He very big name in the cinematic industry. He works for Pixar and some other stuff. He's a brilliant guy. But yeah, I spent 4 hours talking to Nate from the Three Black Helians this morning on my channel. And it was productive. I got to admit, it was good. We've reached a mutual compact with each other. He's not going to have a video about me or talk shit about me for the entire next year. So,
well, I'm going to on Google Earth for the rest of the night and finding dragons. So please, everyone, leave me alone. It's dragon time.
And let me masturbate him, please. Thanks.
This podcast was originally live-streamed on the Non-Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/non-sequitur-show. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls, and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter, at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel, and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts. Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.